93.3 WMMR, audio on demand, presents the Preston and Steve Show podcast. And now, Preston and Steve's news updates with Kathy Romano.
Today is indeed Wednesday. It is May 23rd. Good morning, Kathy.
Good morning. In the news this morning, two Good Samaritans came to the rescue of a teen with autism who was running along 95 yesterday afternoon. Two strangers pulled over on the southbound lanes of 95 by the airport to help the boy as he was running along traffic. 18-year-old Jose Chavarria Jr. told his family he wanted to go back to school in media around 3:45. After they explained that he couldn't, Jose took off. His siblings tried to follow him but quickly lost track. Jose ran for about 3 miles from his West Philadelphia home to the Delaware County line along 95. His sister says when he runs, he thinks it's a game, so he just continued to go. But it's obviously not a game to Jose's family. Jose's mother, Sandra, said, "I couldn't say anything or shake his hand. All I could do was cry." She said she never got a chance to say thank you to the two men who pulled over to help her son, but she wants them to know that she appreciates them. The one guy said it was one of the scariest things in his life because a kid ran out in front of his car.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Jose was taken to Children's Hospital to be evaluated. Lava has been spewing from multiple fissures around the Hawaii's Kilauea volcano for the past few weeks, sending local authorities into a panic as they try to figure out what to do. The lava flow is now inching closer to a major power plant. After destroying 24 homes and displacing numerous residents, Kilauea's lava flow threatens to enter the Puna Geothermal Venture plant. Wells around the plant are the most concern. Experts fear once lava enters the wells, poisonous inflammable hydrogen sulfide gas will be released. Even with the lava flow slowly moving near the plant, officials say there is no immediate danger, but have issued an advisory to nearby residents that an evacuation may be necessary if gas is detected.
Now, this is a legitimate question.
Yes.
Is now a good time to buy your tickets to go to Hawaii? Don't you think things would be a hell of a lot cheaper?
It's not
right
the
now?
Whole island.
No, I know.
You know.
But
so,
still, I mean, just Hawaii in general.
You know what?
I should look and see if it's a lot cheaper.
I wonder if you get, though, an influx of people fascinated, you know, like armchair geologists and volcanologists who are heading out to Hawaii.
Oh, Steve, I saw one idiot who was like a storm chaser.
Really,
he was a volcano chaser, and he was running through the fields without permission, closer to where the the volcano was, where the lava was, so that he could get amateur footage of it.
If there's someone who is a travel agent, though, to your point, Preston, you call it that information, I'd be curious because where the inclination is to, you know, go the other way, prices have never been better.
I think it takes a little while. I don't think now you'll see it, but after the Southwest accident where the engine blew up and the window cracked and all of that, I checked Southwest flight prices and they were, you know, immediately after were the same and even like a few weeks after. So I'm interested. I wonder if they're back down
curious,
now. But right after it was still the same.
I was reading an article this morning that said because of the consistency of the lava, they have not seen it at this consistency. They believe it's heading for a more profound conclusion than normally happens with these things. So we could be seeing Hawaii 2.0.
Oh, man. And, Kath, you know, I'm sure you have it, but did you see where it's the lava's moving towards a power plant right now?
Geothermal plant,
So experts expect Kilauea's current eruption cycle to last for the next several weeks and may intensify before it ends. Since the eruption started on May 3rd, over 2,000 people have fled the area. One person has been injured and 40 buildings have been destroyed. A federal transportation panel on Tuesday recommended to states that all new large school buses be equipped with both lap and shoulder seat belts, which the board chairman called a tried and true safety protection. The National Transportation Safety Board, which investigates transportation disasters, approved the recommendation Tuesday in Washington. The board also recommended requiring collision avoidance systems and automatic emergency brakes on new school buses. The recommendations, which aren't binding on government agencies or the transportation industry, came just days after a school bus collided with a dump truck in New Jersey, killing a student and a teacher. And did you see that school bus driver had like a number of driving violations?
Oh, that's wonderful.
Really? He had a current license and, you know, was able to drive the bus legally, but for like years had lost his license a number of times.
This is wildly effed up because you remember last year, Kathy, you were reporting on a story where the buses had been riding around without insurance for like 6 months or four. It's like a crazy amount of time.
So 8 states already require some kind of seatbelt on larger school buses. New Jersey requires lap belts on larger buses, but the NTSB is also suggesting that it and 3 other states that use lap belts, Louisiana, Florida, and New York, also install shoulder belts. The National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, which creates regulations for school bus safety, already had required some kind of seatbelt for smaller school buses in all of the states, but the administration hadn't embraced requiring seatbelts on larger buses. Instead, the agency says children on larger school buses are protected by strong, closely spaced seats and seat backs, that absorb the energy during crashes. At least 29 states introduced school bus seatbelt legislation last year, but big cost estimates have tripped up lawmakers in several instances. In sports this morning, Brandon McCarthy threw 5 2/3 innings. Ozzie Albies hit his 14th home run, and the Atlanta Braves beat the Phillies 3-1 last night at the ballpark. Vince Velasquez gave up 2 runs and struck out 9 in 4 2/3 innings and fell to 0-4 against the Braves this season, who moved to a game and a half over the Phillies for first place in the division. The National League's East top 2 teams have already met 11 times, with Atlanta winning 7 games. The series wraps up tonight. Jake Arrieta gets the start. Game time is at 7:05. In the NBA playoffs, Houston got 30 points from James Harden and another 27 from Chris Paul to even the Western Conference Finals at 2 games apiece, with a 95-92 win over Golden State last night in Oakland. The Warriors' NBA record postseason winning streak at home ended at 16 games. Game 5 is tomorrow night back in Houston. In the NHL, the Eastern Conference Finals will come to a close tonight, as the Tampa Bay Lightning will host the Washington Capitals in Game 7 of that series. The winner will advance to play the Vegas Golden Knights in the Stanley Cup Finals. The puck drops in Florida at 8 o'clock tonight. And the Eagles, who began voluntary organized team activities yesterday, are still the Super Bowl champs. And that's what I have for you this morning.
All right, thank you very much, Kathy. It is indeed midweek Wednesday morning, and we usually ring in Wednesdays with a secret text word. Chance for you to win a couple different ways by doing one thing. It's very, very simple. We have a chance for you to win tickets to the U.S. Men's National Soccer Team in a matchup against Bolivia. And this, it's going to be the debut, by the way, of Christian Pulisic, which a lot of people have been waiting to see. And it is going to be this Memorial Day on the 28th. So if you are interested in winning that, very simple. Text word secret to 39333. And bounce word back to you later on. We'll ask you to call them with that word. Designated caller gets the tickets, and we will grab a random texter and give away tickets in that manner as well. Now, some other texting that needs to be done. There was texting that was done yesterday because we had Malvern Prep as our coolest teacher of the year school designated. You needed to vote and let us know who you thought the coolest teacher of the past year has been, and certainly we got a whole lot of texts in for that.
The school itself was sending out the information for people to text.
Yeah, so you guys ready to announce?
Yes!
All right, our winner, coolest teacher of Malvern Prep, is a math teacher, and that teacher's name is Mr. Michael Rawlings. Yeah! Congratulations to Mr. Rawlings, a math teacher at Malvern Prep. I know a couple of things about him. Marissa did a little bit of research. He's been at Malvern Prep for 27 years.
27 years. Yeah. He's a mainstay, a staple.
Damn, man.
A legacy.
That's fantastic. And he attended Newman and Widener. And he is a highly experienced teacher with a demonstrated history of working collaboratively in the primary and secondary education industry, athletic coaching and personal counseling and championship programs, and more, recently implementing disruptive innovations in the math classroom.
Disruptive innovations?
I don't know what those...
What the hell does that mean?
Yeah, he also has additional training in meditation, pastoral counseling, psychotherapy, and mindfulness instruction.
This is the most accomplished man on earth.
With experience in presenting mindful awareness to athletic teams, high school students, and faculty and university graduate programs.
And he teaches math.
Wow, and more recently involved in hosting and housing Chinese high school students and guiding them through the American educational system.
Holy crap. Wow.
How's about that?
Well, don't we all feel like underachievers?
Absolutely. So, Mr. Rawlings, congratulations for all your efforts and your popularity at Malvern Prep. We are going to give you the Preston and Steve Coolest Teacher coffee mug, and we'll give you a $25 Rita's Water Ice gift card because Rita's is our sponsor. of the coolest teacher of the year. And we'll throw in $50 in cash out to our friends at Gottschall's Turkey Bacon, and they'll throw you some turkey bacon, too.
All this has been worth it for the turkey bacon.
Don't forget Rita's Water Ice gift cards. Make a great teacher's gift. So congrats to Mr. Rawlings. Maybe if he's got some time, we'll hear from him later on this morning. All right, who gets to pick the next one, Casey?
Is it me?
Wow. All right, Mr. Morrison, we're going to bring around the jar of goodness to you.
Comes back quickly, don't you find?
It does. And let's see who the next school is.
Freaking thing.
We will highlight. Okay. It's hard to get your hand in there.
Yeah, there we go. All right. All right.
Got this?
Two are locked together in Mortal Kombat. All right. I get nervous. I really do. All right, I want it to be a good school.
It's our next school.
Garnet Valley High School! Yeah!
In Delaware County.
Actually know a couple of teachers there. I'm gonna vote.
The first time we lived in Delaware County, we were in the Garnet Valley School District. Of course, we didn't have any kids at that time, but we did take a good look. It's a great school. And since we have that now up, we have your chance, Garnet Valley High School, for you to let us know who the coolest teacher of the past year has been. It's very simple. And you have to follow this step-by-step procedure. So if you go to Garnet Valley, keep this in mind. Let them know this is how you vote. You text the word teacher, followed by the teacher's name, to 39333. That word teacher has to come first, okay? So text the word teacher, followed by the teacher's name, to 39333. One vote per phone number. So Garnet Valley School, it's up to you guys. Good luck to you, and we want to hear who the coolest teacher of the past year has been. All right, I love this, man. This really gets us feeling like summer is...
Yeah.
We're just right on the edge of it.
Well,
Kenan's obviously, and all these things.
Don't you feel like a kid in school when the school year is winding down?
Yes.
So that sense of excitement is back. It's back.
Yep. Good luck to you guys. All right. So guest wise today, we're just going live on Fox Good Day. We're going to check in with Alex and Mike and see what's going on with them. And we have a lot of stuff to give away. And I know, you know what? I should give a few of these away right now because we have the screening of Action Point. This is going to be at the UA King of Prussia. Coming up on the 31st, and then the movie opens on the 1st. But here's what's cool, and I'll take five callers at 215-263-WMMR. UA King of Prussia on the 31st, and you need to be there by 6:30 because the screening is at 7. But while we are at Kenan's in North Wildwood, we're going to give away a trip for two to the premiere of this movie, which will be May 31st, but it's going to be in Hollywood, California. Yay.
These kind of trips are so cool because they're done as promotional trips, so they really... pull out all the stops to make sure you're going to have a blast.
They take care of it. They're usually pretty quick trips, but you have a really good time while you're on the way. So you'll get airfare two nights at the Santa Monica area hotel. Admission to the premiere, $175 Visa gift card, and they'll set you up with meals and sightseeing, and a 2-hour beach bar cycle for two.
Those things are cool. I don't even drink and I want to do one.
You have to be at least 21 years or older in order to win, both you and the guests. So we will give that away while we are at the Kenan's Bash on Friday.
Preston, I was reading a story. Johnny Knoxville was talking about the filming of this movie, and we talked about, I forget who the NBA player was, who had his eye pop out of his socket.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Same thing happened in Knoxville during the filming.
Oh, my God. What?
Really?
Yeah, yeah.
Wow. So he was... You know, Johnny, he's the stunt dude. He'll jump in there and do it. So I'm surprised he hasn't gotten majorly injured yet. All right, we have those things going on more. We're going to take a quick break, come back in a second. I'll have a stupid question. We'll get the entertainment report and more when we return.
This 93.3 WMMR audio on demand program returns after a brief word from our sponsors.
Hey, it's Preston. Listen, when I want to relax, I go to Hand and Stone Massage Facial Spa. Listen, whether you want a rejuvenating massage or refreshing facial, Hand and Stone is the place to go. Introductory massages or facials start at just $59.95. Visit handandstone.com or one of their 50 locations in the Delaware Valley. Restrictions apply. See spa for details.
Prince Creek Outfitters in Phoenixville has everything you need for the great outdoors and beyond. All the big-name brands, they have them. Visit FrenchCreekOutfitters.com for additional info. French Creek Outfitters, why take a chance with anybody else?
Are you ready for love? If so, Stephen makes it easy, handpicking diamonds, to create a stunning engagement ring that's guaranteed to take her breath away. Stephen Singer Jewelers, real love experts at the other corner of 8th and Walnut, or IHateStephenSinger.com.
This is the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
All right, we got a stupid question to give a prize. You all right there, Holmes? It's happening out of nowhere.
I just saw a funny video.
Sorry. Oh, okay. That's okay. I thought he was choking on something.
I was. I
sometimes you laugh, sometimes you choke.
Yeah, okay.
It's a different reaction.
I have a $150 Fogo to Show gift card that we are going to give away for the correct answer here. And the question is, what is the panda's primary food source?
What is the panda's primary food source?
Yeah, 215-263-WMMR. And we'll set you up with your primary food source. Fogo de Show.
Oh, yeah.
Which you will eat till you explode. So I'll give you a $150 gift card for that. All right, I have some birthdays today. We'll go through while we are awaiting your answer. Today is Wednesday, May 23rd. It is Drew Carey's birthday today.
Current host of The Price is Right, right?
Correct. And he's hosted Whose Line Is It Anyway? And, of course, the Drew Carey Show was his. And he's a great guy. We've had him on a number of times throughout the years. Just kind of a regular Joe.
Yeah, a Marine.
Yeah. He is 60 years old today. Joan Collins has her birthday.
Oh, how old is she?
She's 85.
85.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't seen pictures of her recently. She's always looked good.
Mm-hmm.
When she was playing Alexis on Dynasty, she was in her 50s, right?
Well, I think it was just before she turned 50 because she did...
Playboy
when she was 50 years old.
You're right,
I had that issue,
yes.
And it was after Dynasty. So
you're right. Yeah,
I always had a thing for her. She was mean and
super hot. She
really?
Looks a lot like Jewel.
Yeah, well, it's Jewel's birthday today,
okay.
Too.
Yay!
They're jumping the gun on our pictures here in the studio. Joan Collins is 85. Jewel is 44.
Jewel.
Yeah.
Also hot.
She is hot.
And we love her Snaggletooth.
Great singer. Really good guitar player, too.
Is she?
A lot of people don't realize. Yeah.
I didn't know that.
She does, you know, the finger picking and the whole thing. She's a talented singer-songwriter. Had her moment, you know.
Before the flip tabs, she could open cans of beer with her teeth.
I did not know that. She is 44 today. Do you remember Karen Duffy?
Yes, yeah. I do. From MTV.
Also known as Duff on MTV, yeah.
Dumb and Dumber.
She was in Dumb and Dumber. She had a few small roles in film. I saw she had like a bit part in American History X, or not American History X. I think she was in, what was it?
American
that?
Beauty?
No. Nick is scrolling
American
through
Pie?
her IMDb. Maybe it was Malcolm X. I was thinking American History X or Malcolm X. I knew there was an X in there somewhere. Yeah, it was Malcolm X.
Why, really?
She was in Last Action Hero, Reality Bites, Blank Check, Dumb and Dumber, just some small roles. But
she had health issues, right?
She had something that's, I guess it's kind of like an arthritis.
Well, she had a rare disease, and it caused some form of paralysis in her for a while. So, but I don't know what her status is now, but I always thought she was beautiful. She was also like a... she's like cover girl. She had a model gig for something.
That's how we started.
So she's 56. Then you have Charles Kimbrough, who was on Murphy Brown. He played Jim Dial, 82 years old. I think he was the
Ted Knight
newsman.
Yeah.
Fluffy guy. Yeah.
I don't see his name being thrown around for the reboot.
No, they hated him.
No,
I don't know. I just tried to fill out the story there.
Okay. Tom Tykwer, who is a German director, and he did Cloud Atlas and a few other movies I've never heard of before.
Yeah, Cloud Atlas.
I wonder if he messed it up or if it was just a bomb to begin with. Source material, it wasn't actually that good.
Sort of a tough movie to watch.
Yeah.
Visually, though, it's pretty stunning. Yeah.
So he's 53. And then the last birthday, had a request from a friend of ours, RC, from Tattoos by RC. His son, Dalton, celebrates his birthday today.
Wow.
And RC wanted me to mention it. We haven't seen Dalton in a while.
He's been around.
He used to come around when he was a kid, and we haven't seen him, but he's a man now. Full-grown adult, man.
I almost mentioned him earlier this morning because he actually went to Garnet Valley High School.
No kidding.
Which is our coolest teacher high school today.
You're going to be my regular Saturday night thing, baby.
Stop it.
Oh, yeah.
That's Dalton. That's from Roadhouse. That's not Dalton.
No, that's Dalton. Not Dalton.
I thought we had audio of Dalton.
No, we did. No.
Dalton is here.
Ain't done hurt.
Yeah, Dalton's the cooler. That was one of his bouncers who was had hurt. This girl and was having fun.
It's your regular Saturday night thing.
Yeah, that was it. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
You're going to be my regular Saturday night thing, baby.
Wait, so
what
how old is
woman
this kid?
Doesn't want to hear that?
You're, I've got you. You're inked in on Saturday.
Yeah, Saturday, you're my regular Saturday night thing. That I'm going to have.
19 or 20.
Oh, yeah. That's right. She had a fake. She didn't even have a fake ID. It was like a credit card or
something like that.
I got her in. Oh, what were you going to say, Nick?
How old is he?
I don't know. You know what?
Swayze died.
He was a little kid when he came in to visit the show, and I'm wondering, how long
21?
Has time passed?
I'm guessing he's 21.
All right.
Yeah. That's just a guess. I'll have to check my Instagram message that I got from RC.
Oh, yeah.
And get back to it. But this...
It'll be my regular Saturday night thing, baby. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
No, he can't be that old yet.
He's all right, he's at least 20, at least.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, keep playing that clip over and over until I get this, Steve.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Are you looking or are you
I'm
just
looking
laughing?
It up. I have to go into my phone. Oh my God! Let's see.
Oh, yeah.
It says here, "Hey, Wednesday, May 23rd. I'd like you to mention my son Dalton's birthday announcements, and this will make everybody feel a tad older. He was 8 years old when he first came into the show with me. Now taller than me, with his own 800 horsepower 2016 Mustang GT. He turns 20 years old.
There we go.
Booyah!
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. That's
yeah. It'll be my regular Saturday night thing, baby. Oh, yeah.
So far, this is my favorite part of the
day.
There
we go. It all goes downhill from here.
All right, let's see if we can get an answer to the stupid question. Oh, yeah. A panda, what is their primary food source?
Yeah. Okay.
No. I want to go to Courtney. Hi, Courtney.
Hi,
Courtney. Hey. What is the panda's primary food source?
Is it bamboo?
Oh yeah. Yeah. Hang on.
Oh, yeah.
Hang on, Courtney. We're gonna give you a $150 Fogo de Show gift card, and you can visit them in Philadelphia, King of Prussia, and Fogo.com. By the way, it's not pronounced Fogo de Chow. Even though it's spelled that way, it's Fogo de Show.
Yeah, snap out of it.
That's how they say it. Just in case anybody wanted to correct me, that is actually how it is pronounced. Okay. Excuse me. I'm still, yeah, still kicking that stuff up in my chest. All right, we'll begin with this. Caitlyn Jenner.
Yes.
Has six kids, but.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, she's.
You're going to be my regular Saturday night thing. Oh, yeah.
I might not make it through the show today.
Caitlyn, huh? Thought you'd be bigger. I mean, no core.
But she
Roadhouse with Caitlyn Jenner.
Oh, my God.
Pain don't hurt.
No.
Except when they cut your balls off. That was pretty uncomfortable. I'll have to say that did sting.
That pain hurt?
Yeah, that pain sort of hurt. The knife attack at the bar? No, not so much. Cutting my balls off? Yeah, that actually pinged a bit.
Can you stick to the script there?
It pinged a bit.
That pain hurt.
Oh,
come on, dude. This is so
I can't help it.
Kathy's recording all this. She wants to use it as a ringtone.
Oh, my God. Whew. Okay. Sorry.
Uh-huh.
Oh, yeah. All right. But she has six kids, but she doesn't see much of them. In a
And she still kept her body after six kids.
An arranging interview with, she can give birth to them.
Oh, that's right.
With Broadley, the former Olympian opens up about her life post-transition and what it's like to be one of the most well-known members of the trans community. She said, I spent a lot of time by myself here in the house. I have a lot of children, but sometimes just because of circumstances, maintaining a close relationship with your kids is very tough. They all have lives and they've moved on. So to go through all of them. She shares Bert, who is 39.
Bert?
Yeah. B-U-R-T.
Okay.
What?
Well, if you spell it B-E-R-T, is that nerdier? I don't know.
I don't know.
All right.
Then you have Cassandra, who is 37, with ex-wife Christy Crownover. Sons Brandon, who is 36, and Brody, who is 34.
Okay, we know them.
With ex-wife Linda Thompson. And daughter Kendall and Kylie, of course, with ex-wife Kris Jenner. She came out as transgender in 2015. Now, Jenner clearly hopes that she'll be able to mend fences.
Preston,
she said, what?
Preston, did I ever adopt Kim, Chloe, and Courtney?
Oh.
Because I was married to Kris?
I don't think so.
So I did not do that.
I don't think that they are legally
So then I'm not their step mommy.
That's right.
Now.
But when you say six kids, you're counting them, correct?
No.
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 Bert, Cassandra, Brandon, Brody, and Kylie, and Kendall.
Oh, right. Yeah. Kylie and Kendall are his, though.
Yes, they're mine. I mean. They came out of my uterus. Right.
No, they did not. She said, we're just human beings. We're going to be here for a very short time. We've come and we come and we go. And at the end, when it's all said and done, hopefully your family is going to be there.
You know, Preston, living the life the way I have, I've learned one thing.
What?
Find the biggest guy in the room, break his leg.
Are you still doing Roadhouse?
Comes down like a ton of bricks.
That's right.
Yeah.
Smash your knee.
Yeah.
Fall like a ton of bricks.
Press, your dad just came into town last week. Could you imagine how hard that would be for you as a child to have your dad be your mom?
And, yeah. They chronicled it in the series. Yeah, I mean, you know what? Everyone's cool with it now.
Yeah. It would certainly be an adjustment. The biggest part being my dad would make a very ugly woman.
He's so manly.
Honestly. He's so manly. Bruce Jenner was the greatest athlete
the
world. But,
however, to Kathy's point, Cullen, President's dad, is a real regular guy, the kind of guy who mends wounds with a stick and a beaver pelt.
Yeah.
So he knows that's his thing. I would be a hideous woman.
Sure.
And I don't think your dad or any of us in this room right now. Well, maybe Nick. Well,
Casey might be kind of cute.
Well, Nick and Casey have nice faces.
Oh, man. I forgot to bring in the photo of me dressed like a woman. Yeah. I told you guys about that. I'll have to look for it to tonight.
Is it Halloween?
No. It was Thursday. No, it was. I was a camp counselor, and the camp the kids dressed the girl counselors up like boys, and the boy counselors up like girls.
Okay.
And I found a photo of it while moving recently.
Oh, we got to see that.
Yeah, yeah. It's hot.
All right. Well, anyhow, plenty has happened since she came out, especially because she claimed that Chris had known of her gender identity, which has caused no end of turmoil and debate. Jenner told the magazine, I got the trans community out there bashing on me. I got the Kardashians out there bashing on me. All I do is sit here in the house and try to stay out of trouble. She was asked about when she dies. And she said, I hope when I get up there to the pearly gates, God looks down and says, you did a good damn job. You won the games, raised wonderful children, and you know you made a difference in the world. Yeah, come on in.
I'm sorry. I'm waiting for Bruce Jenner. Have you seen him?
That's the way I want to go, she said.
It's me.
And then she added that.
What?
Even before she transitioned, she had planned to add a detail of her will stipulating that she be buried in women's clothes. So this is before she ever made it public. She had it in her will, and she said, I thought about that a lot over the years and said, it would shock everybody. Screw them.
Well, you know, if you watch that initial special where she went into all the experiences throughout her life in an elaborate way, it's clear she's infinitely happier now. And that's fine.
Sure.
If it's working for her, that's great.
I just remember the tabloid pictures.
And
we were about a year in advance of any of that.
No, see, that's bullcrap. Yeah, that's nonsense.
But then we're also looking at the pictures going, wait a second here. And sure enough, they got it right. You know, that's the National Enquirer, the Weekly World News, all of those, you know, really trashy tabloids.
And to that point, Preston, people were pointing out, they said every once in a while the Enquirer gets it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the thing was the first time we saw longer than usual hair after he had had... Bruce at this time had his Adam's apple apparently surgically
shaved down. Yeah, and the fingernails and all
that.
Yeah. By the way, somebody wants to hear Caitlyn Jenner talking to Miho, if at all possible. So I don't know if you can do that.
Talking to Miho?
Yeah, that's right.
What are some great lines here?
What is Miho, by the way?
I don't know what it means.
Miho,
it's Spanish,
right? Buddy, right?
Bro,
I'm
not really sure. He's got you all messed up there, Miho.
I'm trying to think of some of the classic lines. I'll have to do a little review. Sorry.
All right.
I'm not up on my full Roadhouse quotables.
Age is not at the top of Sarah Paulson's mind, but she's used to everyone else obsessing about it. The 43-year-old sits down with Modern Luxury to discuss her relationship with actress Holland Taylor, who's 75.
Say what?
Yeah, so Sarah Paulson is 43.
I'm 70.
And she's with actress Holland Taylor, who is 75. You're 70?
Isn't Caitlyn
68, right?
Really?
Wow. Yes.
Yeah, well, 68 years old
for and, good luck.
And supposedly in a relationship with a 21
yeah, man.
Year old.
Solid, bro.
All right, so Sarah Paulson is 43, and she's with a woman named Holland Taylor, who is 75.
You know this woman. She played Charlie Sheen and John Cryer's mom on Two and a Half Men.
Oh, okay.
She said, if anybody wants to spend any time thinking that I'm strange for loving the most spectacular person on the planet, then that's their problem. I'm doing just fine. It's not the first time that she felt compelled to defend her relationship. As she told The Edit early on, when people found out I was with Taylor, some said, I think you have to be careful. I'm afraid it's going to affect your career negatively. And I was like, what?
It hasn't.
It never occurred to me at all. They've been dating since 2015. They met at a dinner party a decade ago. She also tackled aging in Hollywood in general and how she actually thinks it's worked for her, not against her. She said, if being older means all the roles I'm getting to play now, of all the ups and downs and hills and valleys preceding it, I say bring it on. Every once in a while, I'll go, wow, 43, that's 7 years shy of 50. That's a big 5-0. But then I go, stop running 7 years down the road if you have no idea what your life will look like and where you'll be.
Preach.
And that's just what makes life so sweet. You cross your fingers, take a deep breath, and jump, and that's really all you can do. She'll next be seen in Ocean's 8, by the way. Ocean's 8.
You know how they met? I mean, you mentioned how they met, but how they ended up sort of hooking up was direct messages over Twitter.
Really?
No kidding. Yeah, they ended up following one another and then direct message each other and then ended up dating.
Well, she plays the older actress here. Has always played a very sexual woman. Yeah. Sexual.
Okay. Let's see here. Oh, another one of these things came to a close. Season 14 of The Voice came down to four contestants with their eyes on the crown. It was Team Blake Shelton's Kyla Jade.
Oh, man, I'm sorry, Preston. I know that was not your team.
Kyla Jade and Spensha Baker. Team Kelly Clarkson's Bryn Cartelli. And Team Alicia's Keys, Britton Buchanan. No, I didn't tell you who won yet.
Well, I know they eliminated Frappuccino Coletto.
Yeah, so not even in
in the running.
No, it was Bryn Cartelli.
Bryn Cartelli!
Yeah, Kelly Clarkson's gal who nabbed the $100,000 and a contract to Universal Records Group. I'm assuming Bryn is a girl. Bryn Cartelli, yeah. Bryn, a 14-year-old from Longmeadow, Massachusetts, and the youngest ever to win the competition, beat out runner-up Britton in the title.
She's supposed to be totally adorable. I have not seen her.
Bryn's victory gives her coach Kelly Clarkson a win in her very first season on the NBC singing competition. Kyla took third, and Spensha finished fourth. Bryn was chosen by Clarkson during the blind audition section and stayed with her throughout the whole season. During Monday's live performances, including one with Clarkson, a cover, and her original song, Walk My Way. So she won it. There you go.
14 years old.
Yeah.
Wait, that girl right there is 14 years old?
She doesn't look 14.
No.
No!
But, no! Kelly Clarkson!
Yep. So there you go. We got a winner of The Voice.
What's Nick's phrase again?
Bunapaya.
Nanapaya.
Nanapaya?
Nanapaya.
No!
Kelly Clarkson.
That's
Kelly Clarkson.
All right, and he's got to reset it.
Sorry,
there we go.
That's okay. Here's
you know, if I
none up a yeah,
none up a yeah,
yeah. That's yeah. it.
That give it to me on my side. I'll help out periodically.
None up a yeah.
Yeah, we need two of those. Yeah.
How about listen to this story? I did not know this. I was not aware of this situation with Anthony Hopkins. He is in direct opposition to every stereotype about grandparents in existence. He is so miffed with his daughter that he has zero interest. And whether or not his grandchildren even exist.
He doesn't even know if he has grandkids.
Yep.
Kathy does not know if he has grandkids.
Wow. Whoa.
The Silence of the Lambs star told Radio Times he doesn't even know if his estranged daughter Abigail has any kids. He said, I don't have any idea. He's 80 years old, by the way.
Hey, you know, Hannibal Lecter was a little bit warmer.
He said,
do you want to see pictures of my children? This is Debbie and this is Luke. Now, he's really good at baseball.
He said, people break up. Family split, and you know, get on with your life. People make choices. And
wow.
I don't care one way or another. He and Abigail's mother, Petronella Barker, split up when Abigail was a toddler. Though the 48-year-old reportedly reconciled with Hopkins in the 1990s, it didn't stick. When told his response sounded cold, he said, well, it is cold because life is cold.
Wow.
Jesus Man. Christ.
I have a friend who has a mom that he has no relationship with, and she was aware of the first child in that family being born. And I'm on his side, by the way. I totally understand where he's coming from. But at this point, she has no idea if she has additional grandchildren.
That's just crazy, right?
Yeah, I mean, for me, that's a really foreign concept, but I get where he's coming from.
Hey, I wonder if this might be the case with Suri Cruise and Tom Cruise after a while.
Maybe. You know, you would hope that, and you would think that paternal instincts and as a child, your instincts to love that person is it eventually it's going to catch up with you and you'll, you know, maybe regret, but maybe some people just flat out don't care.
Yeah.
I've gotten on. I don't need this. And I just, you know, it's sad, but
yes, because you can't. I wonder if there'll come a point at which now he's up there where he'll think to himself, dear God.
Or,
what
you know,
have I done?
You know what, though? You don't know how it happened. Maybe that was their agreement, and now for him to jump into her life would be
jarring.
Yeah.
Which is true. However, jumping into the grandchildren's life is a different dynamic, you know, and you would think at some point that he would want to be a grandfather to his own bloodline.
But not if he doesn't have a relationship with their mom.
I mean, don't you think his grandkids would want to meet the greatest British cooler who ever lived?
I don't know.
It's not the grandkids' fault. I guess that's my point.
Yeah, no, you're right. This was pretty damn funny. You guys know Brandi Chastain?
Yes.
Soccer player?
Yep.
There's a new plaque that's going to be made for her at the Bay Area Hall of Fame after a not-so-accurate depiction of the soccer star was displayed on Monday night.
Kathy, it's the most unflattering thing you've ever seen. Oh,
it's horrible.
It is horrible.
This is apparently, according to the Hall of Fame president, Kevin O'Brien, he said it was not a good job on the part of the artist. We're going to do a better job this time. Chastain said she's fine with the decision to redo the plaque, but wasn't offended at the first try. She said it's not the most flattering, but it's nice.
Not really.
No, it doesn't look anything like her at all.
I think the person who said it looked like Gary Busey was spot on.
And I thought it looked like Babe Ruth.
And people are saying it also looks like Mickey Rooney.
Mickey Rooney, too, yeah.
The 49-year-old...
What girl wouldn't be flattered being compared to those three?
...is best known for her work with the U.S. Women's National Team, scoring the winning penalty kick in the 1999 World Cup title. As a native of San Jose and an alum of the University of California, she is an obvious inclusion for the Bay Area Hall of Fame. This isn't the first time a poor depiction of an athlete was mocked before being remade. Emmanuel Santos used a second chance to create a bust of Cristiano Ronaldo, which apparently was pretty bad, too.
We have a whole bunch of them now. There was the Lucille Ball statue, which was horrific. The Fonzie Henry Winkler statue, which was horrific.
Yep.
It's like, you know, I've seen really good statues. Is the industry on a downfall?
Somebody also says the plaque looks like old Biff from Back to the Future 2.
That's true.
Old Biff.
Yeah, when he runs a casino.
Yeah.
And then somebody says it looked kind of like Billie Jean King now. So, you know.
We're looking at Cristiano Ronaldo.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, Ronaldo.
He looks like a buff. He looks like a buff Ed Grimley.
The Ronaldo one, I mean, he's like one of the most handsome guys on the planet.
Right?
And they took this statue of him. And
That's terrible.
Yeah, he looks like Sloth. All right, I got some other stories. Deadpool 2's Brianna Hildebrand plays the mutant hero Negasonic Teenage Warhead, and her character just happens to be a lesbian. Ryan Reynolds doesn't bat an eye, but in real life, Hildebrand had a different experience with colleagues. She tells Playboy that her relationship with Jonaki Grisham, who I assume is a girl,
okay,
not sure, hasn't always been as well received. She said, I remember going to a few different publicists and that being on the forefront of their mind, like, how would you like to go about this? We can keep this under wraps if that's what you would like. She said, it just kind of surprised me a little because I was like, I didn't suggest that. I'm totally fine with who I am. I know that that's how Hollywood used to work, but they didn't really know me. Maybe they thought I was private, and I'd rather be like, this is what it is.
And this one has a number of the people in the gay community furious with Hollywood, because outwardly they project inclusiveness. But how recently was this, and they're making an issue of it? It could have been just a couple of years ago, and they're making an issue of it.
Hey, by the way, how is Negasonic in the new movie? I haven't seen it yet.
She's great.
Is she great? I loved her in the first
one. She's great, yeah.
I thought it was a great character.
I mean, she's grown up into like an elegant young lady.
Yeah.
You know, in the first one, she was kind of, you know, young
teenager,
and yep. And in this one, I for a second I'm like, is that the same? Is it the same girl?
Well, the first in the original Deadpool, when you see her really kick in and do her deal, she chucks the phone, you know.
And, yeah, I love it.
Does her deal.
Hey, speaking of Ryan Reynolds, Netflix is greenlighting a Michael Bay Ryan Reynolds project.
Six Underground has a budget of $125 million based on an original idea from Paul Wernick and Rhett Reese. Bay is set to shoot it back-to-back with Robopocalypse, with a release for both on Netflix in 2018. I don't know anything about it.
I know that it involves this character from Blossom working in a mine. She gets trapped.
What's that?
Six Underground.
Six Underground. Oh, Six. I didn't watch Blossom, so, but Six was a character, right?
Blossom's friend.
All right, so Oscar winner George Clooney hopped behind the bar at Meghan Markle and Prince Harry's wedding reception. The multitasking father of twins bartended and poured, of course, Casamigos drinks and got everyone dancing, according to a spy. He and Randy Gerber famously sold that Casamigos brand to Diego.
For how much again?
$700 million.
Diageo.
Diageo, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Diageo for $700
million. $700 million. Dollars.
Three quarters of a bill, basically. That's insane.
And he only gave his friends $1 million each.
Yeah. I think he was going to cheapen out.
Bastard.
And let's do one.
I don't need your mercy.
Let's do one more story. It's been 2 years since Fox News chairman CEO Roger Ailes stepped down amid reports of sexual misconduct. There he is. And what was his thing? What did he like?
I like to fart and eat ribs.
You like to fart and eat ribs? I think you like to fart in girls' faces, right?
Yeah, I like that a lot.
And now...
Me and Chuck Berry.
And now, as an un-yet... untitled film is being created about...
Right, open your mouth.
Oh, my God.
You may have gotten some frosting on that one.
Yeah.
And as yet untitled film is being created by his epic downfall.
Ailes does look like one of the dudes from Dune.
Yeah.
The big fat dudes with the bad skin.
He looked like Baron.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
The Baron Harkonnen.
Yeah.
Charlize Theron is set to star as Megyn Kelly, who described his harassment in her landmark 2016 memoir, Settle for More. Ailes died in 2017. And deny the allegations. Charles Randolph is writing and Jay Roach is directing. To be determined is who will play Gretchen Carlson, Ailes, and media mogul Rupert Murdoch. But they've got Charlize Theron on board for that. So we'll see. All right. Clips. Time for clips.
Yay.
Clips. Law and Order Special Victims Unit wraps up its 19th season tonight.
Holy crap.
With a two-episode special. And in this clip, Ice-T talks about his time on the show.
The craziest thing for me, like, if you're 20 years old, you were 1 year old when I started SVU. You know, I'm proud, man. 19 years.
Oh, that's it.
Shut up,
Sorry. I thought there was more to it than that.
Sounded like he was going into a curse.
So the double feature airs tonight at 9 p.m. on NBC. Here's the next clip. The spookiest season of Survivor is coming to a close tonight. Ooh. Survivor Ghost Island. Paid homage to previous seasons of the show with old mementos and props. And in this clip, Callan Bechtold.
Ooh, him.
Talks about, her welcome home party after being voted off the island. Here we go.
Everyone seemed pretty glad to see me, I think. They said that they didn't want me to get voted out, but they were hoping it was me because they wanted someone fun to come back to Ponderosa. So that's not so bad of a welcome.
Shut the f*** up!
A new episode airs tonight at 9 p.m. on CBS. That's all I have for you today, folksies. We have some other stuff going on this morning. We have a secret text word, and today we have your opportunity to win yourself some tickets to the U.S. men's national soccer team matchup against Bolivia. And Christian Pulisic is going to make his Pennsylvania debut for the red, white, and blue. Text a word, secret to 39333. Bounce a word back to you later on. We'll ask you to call in with that word. See if you win. We'll grab a random text or two. And we had a winner from our coolest teacher from Malvern Prep. It was Mr. Michael Rawlings. So congratulations. He's a math teacher at Malvern Prep. Been there for 27 years. The next school that's voting, Garnet Valley High School in Glen Mills, Pennsylvania, Delaware County. Here's what you got to do. Text the word teacher, followed by the teacher's name to 39333. This is indeed if you are a student at Garnet Valley, and it's one vote per person. We'll give you roughly 24 hours to get to that. So remember, text the word teacher, followed by the teacher's name, 39333, if you go to Garnet Valley High School. We'll take a break. Come back in just a moment. This story was making the rounds yesterday. I caught it a couple of days ago, but it's come through now. An upstate New York couple got so fed up with their unemployed 30-year-old son's refusal to leave the nest, they finally sued to evict him, and they won.
The wow. judge oh my God, what? Sided with the family. And I agree, reading the story, abso-friggin-lutely.
Wait, how old did you say?
30.
30, yeah. So Mark and Christina Rotondo were forced to make the extreme parenting measure after giving their layabout millennial boy, Michael, cash for moving expenses, pleading with him to get on with his life, and finally sending written legal notices demanding that he grow up and move out.
He needs to find an Italian mom and dad because they never kick their kids out.
They forever. Or Casey's mom, who was like Casey was about to move out as an adult finally, and
she was sad.
And she said, "You know, you can stay here
forever.
That's forever. Adorable. Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm.
Forever and ever and ever."
So here's.
But I was working. I was gainfully employed.
This guy
doesn't even have a job.
This guy might as well be an 11-year-old.
He claims that he does. So they sent him a letter. They actually sent him a letter. The first one was dated February 2nd. It said, "Michael, after discussion with your mother, we have decided that you must leave this house immediately." And it concludes by saying, "You have 14 days to vacate. We will take whatever actions are necessary to enforce this decision." And then they offered him $1,100 to help find a place to stay. They gave him parental advice, including organize the things you need for work and to manage an apartment and sell the other things that you have that have any significant value. And then they even implored him to start making money. They said there are jobs available even for those with a poor work history like you. Get one. You have to work. But nothing moved Michael from his failure to launch, and that is until an equally fed-up judge's ruling on Tuesday forced him to accept adulthood, and he was pissed off about it.
Didn't he represent himself in court?
He did.
Which is always a good move.
Well, no, the judge was actually impressed with him.
What, really?
He was, yes. So he had said, but after the judgment, he said, "It's really unfair to me and really outrageous." He's a self-described businessman, by the way, who has a young boy of his own, of whom he lost custody. He said, "I really don't want to stay there." This was him telling the Post from a bus after his life-altering court loss. He said, "I've been trying to leave there for a long time. They stopped feeding me. They cut me off the family phone plan." He said about tough love, "I don't think trying to destroy somebody is tough love." The family feud boiled over on May 7th when the mom, Christina, filed the suit seeking to evict Michael from their modest residence. The son, who turns 31 in July and has lived at home for the past 8 years, has declined to go even after a series of eviction letters they sent him between February 2nd and March 30th. So I guess he was away for a while, and then he moved back home.
So if you think, all right, maybe he moved out when he was 18 or 19, or let's say. So he got married, or at least had a kid.
Well, he came back when he's 22 because he's 30 now. Right. He's been there for 8 years.
So he's only been away for at most 4 or 5 years of his 30 years?
I went away for 3 years, I think, and then I moved back home because I'd moved, not out of state, but I moved several hours away, and then I had a job back in my hometown, and I moved back into my parents' house, and I lived there for about a year, something like that.
Yeah.
And then I found an apartment and got out on my own, but I did return to the house to live as an adult for a little while.
How old were you?
I was 25.
Okay.
Something like that.
I moved back in with my parents when I got divorced.
Okay.
Like
three years ago.
Yeah.
That was hard.
Was it?
Well,
I assume,
swallowing
right?
the pride and living with your parents at 38, 39 years old was a challenge. Yeah, my parents are awesome. I love them. As far as situations like that go, it was the best possible. But, I mean, it's just no matter how old you are, as an adult, living with your parents is challenging.
And I think that reminds you and kind of, like, speeds you up in the process. Yeah. I mean, mine wasn't like that. But after college, same thing. I went back for a few years, and it wasn't like it used to be. You're like, okay, wait a minute. I'm an adult. I'm living by their rule. Like, you know what I mean? Yeah. Time to go. I got to get out of here.
Yeah, and it's really nice to be around your mom if she's a good cook and things like that. You know, there are positives, and you save some money and things like that. But it's you're an adult, they're an adult, and it's eventually there's going
to
be conflict.
I was just talking to Nick Murphy about when I go out to visit my dad in Texas. He and his girlfriend, who's been with him for decades, I consider her a second mom. I get a hotel.
Yeah,
I because I feel like I'm an imposition, but then when, you know, situations force you to do that, you do have to sort of swallow your pride. But at this point, this guy, so what's his occupation, Preston, that he was not, generating enough capital to move out?
Ma, the meatloaf!
I don't know. He hasn't indicated.
Yeah.
He said he's got owns a business or runs a business, and he doesn't say what it is. So they sent him some eviction letters, and each was signed, and this was between February 2nd and March 30th, and each was signed coldly, Mark and Christiana Rotondo.
Mom!
One later.
Mom, the meatloaf!
Mom, your meatloaf is so good.
One letter dated February 13th to Michael Joseph Rotondo says, he's hereby evicted effective immediately. You have heretofore been our guest, and there is no lease or agreement that gives you any right to stay here without our consent. When they offered their son cash in a letter sent later in February, he actually took it, but he used it to pay bills instead of move out. In the final letter, well, there was one that was March 5th, 2018, that said you have 11 days to vacate. And in the final letter, the parents said, they will even pay for to fix his broken Volkswagen Passat. So he's got a broken car.
He's
out front
a Passat
too.
Man.
But Michael only dug his heels in further after his mom sued. Acting as his own attorney, he filed a motion to get his parents' case tossed by claiming that they were legally required to give him 6 months to get out. And on Tuesday, the judge, Donald Greenwood, ordered the parents' lawyer, Anthony Adirante, to draft an order outlining terms of the eviction, but allowed Michael to remain at the home until an official eviction date is set, the son said. Now, Greenwood actually applauded Michael for his legal research in the case, but he blasted his demands for six more months as outrageous. So he was kind of impressed with the work that he actually did for this, and you could be applying that
to a law school!
To real work, you know?
Jeez, unbelievable. It is like the Matthew McConaughey movie, Failure to Launch, isn't that it?
I didn't see it.
Yeah, where he's at home and they want him to leave.
Michael said that he resides in a bedroom located near his mom's master bedroom in the home, while his dad mostly stays in the basement.
Oh, my God, what a nightmare existence. So the parents are not all that tight?
I don't know.
Or has he driven them apart?
He said it's not that big of a deal, we just don't communicate. in court papers, he said that he runs a successful business, but he declined to say what it is.
It must be so successful that he can't repair his Passat.
He said, I have money, I have income, I have plans to not stay with them anymore, just not today, not in 30 days. I can't imagine I'll be there in 3 months, he said. And he also claimed that his parents are forcing him out as retaliation for not allowing them to see his child before he lost custody himself last September. However, he says he'll comply with the order so long as it doesn't force him out within the next 30 days. He said, I want 3 months. I think that's reasonable. He said he briefly saw his parents once he got home Tuesday. He said they were quiet. It's awkward.
Do you know any? You do?
Yeah. All right. Well, I mean, I've met this person on a few different occasions. Okay. Where it's, you know, what's really hard for him is it's not his son. It's his daughter's boyfriend. And
living with them?
Yeah.
All right.
And the problem is he has a job, but he's like older and he wants.
How old?
In like 30, you know, he's getting there. And what he wants for him is just to have a desire to provide or anything. But, you know, he's just. He's just comfortable. And
oh,
this
man.
Particular, and this is like, you know, and I can understand that because I have a daughter.
That's Will Ferrell.
I have a daughter, and it's like, dude, if you're going to be with my daughter, like, I need you to prove that you can
support
or absolutely. Do something, not work at this retail store part-time and play video games for 40 hours a week or more.
Yes. Yeah, that's not a good prospect.
No.
Yeah. Also, why doesn't he tell him it's time to go? It's not even his son.
Yeah,
I guess he doesn't want to piss off the daughter and cause a rift that will perhaps be irreparable.
And if you've only got a part-time job, get another part-time job.
Get another job.
You can juggle two part-time jobs.
Well, yes. It cuts into video game playing,
that's
Preston.
That's true. That's true.
I mean, come on. Link isn't going to find things on his own.
Let me go to Andrea. Andrea, good morning.
Good morning, guys.
Hey, what's up, Andrea?
All right. Well, I graduated college and came home after school, and there was, I was living with my parents, and I was working, but I was, like, spending nights out doing, like, the normal thing, and I guess I was just, it was too stressful for them. They were worried or whatnot, but I came home one day, and they asked me to come look at the computer with them, and sure enough, it was houses for sale. Like, they had told me, it's time to go buy your own home. We can't handle it.
Wow.
And it was totally sweet. They were very supportive, and now we live across the street from each other.
They showed you a house that was right across the street?
Well, no. I moved, and then I ended up going to Germany. Steve, we met the other weekend at the Prostate for Cancer.
At the Bottoms Up event?
Yes.
Okay, very cool, very cool.
So, Andrea, how long did you come back and live at home before they gave you this sort of ultimatum? Well,
long. It was like a summer, but I guess it was just too stressful for them. I don't know.
Yeah, you know, I think you were still within, I think, acceptable parameters,
like
there.
Even, especially if you're coming back and you're making an effort to build a life. I think a year is not a ridiculous amount of time for everybody to hang on. Let me get my bearings. Let me get my footing. And then, yes, I will get a place and I'm working and I'm saving. And you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. My father, at a certain point, when my mom passed away, my father's job was in Dallas, and had been, and he would commute. And it was, you know, when my mother was sick, he was, you know, more local to Long Island, which is where we were living at the time. But he basically said, "Hey, guys, love you, but I want to live. You know, I'm going to Dallas." He set in place some things to assist us, but that was it. It's like sink or swim.
Yeah, yeah. Let me go to. I have Scott next. Hey, Scott. Good morning.
Exactly.
There it is.
Number one.
There it is. All right. What's up, bud?
Hey, I graduated college. It was similar to Andrea's story, but I was in the process of buying a house. I was like a week away from settlement, and the deal fell through, unfortunately, which it happens. Mm-hmm. And so my mom kind of came to me and said, "Well, you know, you still have to move."
No. Oh. Wow.
Okay. How does that make you feel?
It was pretty. I was like, okay, and I mean, I'm sure if push came to shove, I probably could have stayed a little longer, but just that pressure alone, you know what I mean? I don't know how this guy faced it.
Yes. Well, so what'd you do? What'd you end up doing?
I ended up renting a place for my buddy in the city, which wasn't ideal. I was trying to buy something.
Yeah.
But, you know, I ended up having a good time.
But there you go.
And then how long did that last before you eventually bought something?
About 2.5 years.
2.5 years.
Wow.
Really, it set me back. You know what I mean?
But you actually had a plan. You were moving. There were some road blocks along the way. This guy's like, despite his protestations, it's clear he was fine.
I can imagine though, Scott. So you're all set to settle on it, falls through, and then all of a sudden your parents say, "Oh, well, you got to move," and then you move all your crap. And you don't want to move anywhere again anytime soon, so you probably stalled on looking for a place.
Yeah, that was exactly it. Yeah. And I mean, you know, I had kind of, it was like a mental thing too. You know, I had given up and that whole thing. And I said, well, let me just have fun for a while. But okay. I mean, just like I said, just the pressure of my mom telling me, well, you still got to go. I don't know how this guy was able to take it.
Yes, especially when your parents are pissed off at you.
Yeah.
You feel like crap to begin with. But it's some people do not have that sort of freeloader gene that should kick in and tell you you've overstayed your welcome.
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
I'm wondering where I'll be with my kids on that and if they, you know, will just want to, hey, I got it pretty good here. And I think I'm just going to hang for a while.
Do you think that going away to college speeds up the desire to move out of the house?
Yeah, because I think, well, at least for me, when I came back was when I was like, I can't stay here.
Right. Yeah, you had that taste of freedom.
Right. You know what I'm saying?
My wife was the same way. The only time she went home was between freshman and sophomore year of college. And then after that, she was out. That was it. Like because she lived in New Jersey, went to school here in Philly, and then so she hadn't been home since she was 19.
So once you get the taste, as Kathy was saying,
I would think so. Once you get that independent lifestyle and you figure out how it works,
I mean, it's slightly a slightly nuanced take on the real world because there is a structure there. But you do have your freedom.
Yeah. I mean, I think my major thing was that my parents let me come and go as I please, A. And B, I didn't make all that much money, in my early 20s. So, you know, staying at home, it wasn't a necessity, but...
Did you pay rent?
No.
Did you pay for any food?
No.
Okay. No, neither did I. Yeah.
I didn't even do my laundry.
But it was...
Oh, my goodness. See,
did they do the choo-choo train with the food?
Show me how the piggies do it.
Who's a big piggy?
Who's a piggy?
Who's a 30-year-old man living at home?
Give mommy kisses.
Hang on, let me go to, I have Steve-O. Hi, Steve-O, you're on the air. Good morning. Or is it just Steve? Or is it Stevio? Stevio? 33.
Oh, you're talking to Scott, though.
Oh, God damn, I hit the wrong button. Not my fault. Sorry, Steve-O. Hang on the line. We'll go to Scott next. Hey, Scott, you're on the air.
Hello?
Yeah, what's up, bud?
Yeah, I think I got that 30-year-old guy that was on the news beat. My sister-in-law is 35, living at home with her 4-year-old son. Refuses to leave, won't get a job, stays up all night, don't take her kid to school, he's 4. But, you know, the crazy thing is she gets state assistance that pays for an apartment and all the utilities, and she lets her boyfriend stay there where she stays at home. Will not leave her mom at all.
Well, that almost morphs or crosses a line then into, like, criminal behavior.
Yeah.
Because the simple... sort of lovable, you know, but it's time to move on thing has become a lot darker with this situation.
Yeah, is she drug dependent, Scott?
Listen, what's that?
Is she drug dependent?
No drugs, alcohol, nothing. I mean, she
can you get her on drugs?
Because when you're not drug dependent and you're in that situation, you go, why? What is wrong with you?
Yeah.
It's like if you're hooked on some sort of drug.
Her mom takes care of her son. She's so lazy, she doesn't do nothing with this kid. Her mom does it all.
I mean, that's abusive to the kid. And what she's going to do is she's going to drive her own mother into an early grave.
And that's somebody who doesn't have the ability to look seriously into the future and say, what am I going to do? Hold on a second, Scotty. I'm rambling here for a minute. She doesn't have the ability to look into the future and say, I am going to... someday I'm going to be old and I'm going to have to take care of myself. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Wow. All right. Well, that sucks.
She threatens the mom. I told her mom to go get an eviction notice at the courthouse. She said if her mom does it, she will never let any of us see her kid again.
That's the
mom with the grandchild.
Oh, so now she's using that as
ammo.
Ammo. Yeah. Wow. All right. Well, hang in there, Scott. Hopefully something happens. But thanks.
That 30-year-old dude's looking a little bit better now.
That is, that's a tough one to be in. All right. So Steve-O is the guy I meant to go to last time. Steve-O, you there?
Hello?
Yeah.
Hello?
Yeah, you're on the air.
I didn't know if you guys could hear me. I'm
Shut up. What's up, buddy?
Yeah. So, I've been out of my parents' house for almost a decade now, and I actually had to do the whole swallow my pride thing. Me and my wife had to move in at 33, 34 years old, and on top of that, she's pregnant. And both of them smoke.
That's an issue.
So we heard this. When I heard this story on the news last night, we were eating dinner. I just had to put my head down, and my dad just started cracking up. He's like, the first thing I'd be doing is I'd be cutting off the electric to the room. The second thing I'd be doing is cutting off the plumbing. And if that doesn't fail, then I'd be throwing you out and changing the locks.
You've got a forward moving plan.
We had to move in because we sold our house and we're currently building a new house, and it's going to be done sometime in June or July, August. So we're just kind of.
You're not deadbeats.
Yes. By the luck of the draw, you happen to end up in this situation. But yeah. The difference would be is if you were just living there and like, this is great, you know, and had no outward attempt at getting a job or moving out, anything. That's where this guy at 30 years old seemed to be.
We have a plan. We know what we're doing. They're doing us a favor because it's a little bit longer than we should have been there because the house should have been done by now. But it's like we're all on the opposite because like, we've been out for, such a long time that...
And then you come back. Yeah.
It's the next point. Like, it's really, really difficult.
Sure.
And on another note, she doesn't do the choo-choo train. My mom does the airplane.
Oh, the airplane hanger.
Yeah, the hanger.
Open up.
Yeah, that would work with me.
Yeah.
Thanks, Steve.
Coming in for a landing.
All right. So, like, as a general rule, this is sort of a two-part question. What age should the parents start charging rent? And how long should you have been moved out before you move back in where rent would be
These
applied?
Are good questions.
Yeah, I don't believe in the 18 years old, you got to pay rent thing now because you're an adult.
I'm okay with it even right after college because maybe you're trying to land a job. Maybe you're not making any money. And so financial stability is also important. But if you're moving back in at 29 or 30 and you have a job, then, I think the parents probably should charge rent.
Yeah.
A lot of parents, though, will institute the, just because we're going to give you a life lesson here and you're going to start paying rent.
Unless it's a real hard luck situation.
Sure. Yes.
If it really is and they need your charity, for lack of a better word, then I don't think rent should be involved.
All right, I'll pay rent, but you got to stop smoking.
But I'd say over 25.
I don't know. I don't think you can put an age on it. Like, you know, I think that it's the situation. If they're trying, if they're 25 years old and they're trying, they're actively looking for a job, they are maybe working a few part-time jobs. Like, you know, I know my parents would never have charged us rent, but it was because we always tried. We were always doing something to move our life forward. We weren't just sitting still in their house.
So what about this? You're not charged rent, but what if you – I think anybody would consider kicking in for food now and then or buying some – putting some groceries in the refrigerator.
See,
to sort of offset the expenditure on your parents.
Right, I would say, listen, because my mortgage is not going to change just because you moved in with me. However, my gas, electric, water, all that stuff will go up. So I can maybe say, hey, why don't you kick in a little bit for food and some of the utilities or whatever. But
I would consider that rent, though.
Right. Yeah. But I would do rent – but secretly store that money away so that when they did move out, say, hey, here, you
give it back to them.
No, never give it back to them.
Yeah. Listen to this text message. My mother started charging me rent at the age of 16.
Wow.
She forcibly took 85% of all my earned income after she made me get a full-time job and go to school.
What a bitch.
That's harsh. 16?
That's a little too much.
Yeah, I mean, teaching financial independence and responsibility is one thing, but that's a little draconian.
Take 40%.
Yeah. Casey, how much you charge your mom?
Zero.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's not.
I figured it wasn't.
She's over 25. She should be chipping in.
She asked. She tried to.
But I don't. I don't have. I don't. Then you're out of here.
It's funny, though, because she tries to pitch in whatever way she can. So, if we're down to, I don't know, a little bit of laundry detergent, she goes to BJ's and gets us seven things of laundry detergent.
Steve, it's like Happy Gilmore. Oh, your hands hurt? Well, now your back's going to hurt because you just got garden duty.
Ben Stiller.
Horrible. Do we need to take a break because we're going live on Fox Good Day?
Yes, we do.
We have a lot of great calls. I wish we had time to get to them.
Go to one call. Let me do a little bit of math here.
Okay. All right. Because we got to fit in our commercials before we go to Fox. Let me go to... We have a ton of really good calls. Okay, so we have an anonymous caller on the line here. Hi, anonymous caller. You're on the air. Good morning.
Hey, how you guys doing? Sorry to bother you at work.
It's okay.
Your job is so hard.
Thank you.
What's up, man?
Thanks for coming in today so I could gripe. And this is going to save me a couple thousand on therapy, so I appreciate that.
No problem.
So I'll just give you one example of probably, if I sat down and got a piece of paper, I could come up with 50 because I'm a complete dick.
Yeah.
Okay? That's who I am, right? Because mom, it's okay, it's all right. We'll see. Let's take our time. After a couple years, now again, I moved in here a couple years ago, so again, I'm a dick.
So, wait, just for clarification.
You got to lay the groundwork.
Where are you? We got that you're a dick. We don't know where you are or what the living situation is.
Okay, close to you guys in, never mind. But the living situation is there's a 19-year-old in the house, and her boyfriend.
Hold on. Okay, 19-year-old in your house?
Her house, my girlfriend's house.
Your girlfriend's house.
Okay. Talking about his girlfriend.
So she has a 19-year-old son or daughter.
That's correct. Now I moved in.
Son or daughter?
Yes.
Daughter. Sorry.
Okay.
Daughter.
Go ahead.
Daughter. And so anyway, I moved in a couple years ago, and I'm just kind of here's what happened. As an example, the boyfriend of the daughter
Boy, I don't even know where to start. But
all right, let me see if I can. I'm actually Is it? Are you upset at your girlfriend's son because he's freeloading in the house?
Girlfriend's daughter's boyfriend. Yeah. Well, what happened was. Let me give you just one example.
Let's not. Press. You can literally put this guy on hold and come back to him in a half hour, and he'll still be talking. he can't get to the point. Send us an email and we'll relay your story or something. Well,
but
let me just tell you one thing.
All right, please.
I wake up in the morning at like 6:30 in the morning. And remember, in the winter, right? It was very cold.
Yes, the winters are getting cold these days.
I'm dying, and I'm thinking, what the hell's going on? It's 100 degrees in this room. Well, I walk out of the bedroom door, and in the hallway, it's like a blizzard in Antarctica. Why? Because on the day that it went 10 degrees below zero and it was windy as hell, the boyfriend came.
So here she comes, and he's right next to her, and he's thinking, this guy has been over there. But you're like, no. Cold in the winter, warm in the summer.
Yes.
And he looks at you, and you want to crack him because suddenly he starts lipping off. Do I have it?
No, what happened was he came in at 1 in the morning and left the front door open.
Oh, my God. Right.
It's like a blizzard in Antarctica, which is completely common, actually.
The bedrooms are cold.
Yeah.
But the rest of the
house, solarium is warm.
Listen.
All right, we got it, man. We feel your pain. We don't understand it at all, but we feel that you're upset.
Yes, and thanks for admitting you're a dick, but we got to go. I'm sorry.
I think the point of that story is any boyfriend or girlfriend in the house that's not contributing in any way, and, you know, it's not going to work out.
Anybody's going to be annoyed. Kathy, to that point, and I think I was getting this from him. He's obviously passionate and upset. If you are the boyfriend, whatever the girlfriend's doing with her kids is none of your business. You're not daddy.
Yeah.
You're not anything. I know from personal experience, mm-hmm. someone within my extended family had a wonderful person in his life, and he was trying to exert influence over the kids. Not his place.
No, I agree with you, Steve.
Yeah. But what if they move into your house?
Well, that's a different story.
It's a different story.
If it's your house,
mm-hmm.
and your girlfriend and their kids move in with you, that's your home. You pay the bills, so on and so forth. It's under your name. Then, you got some sway. And but no, you can't.
But I will say that when an adult like this guy's daughter's boyfriend or whatever does something like leave a front door open, I mean, that's little kid stuff. And that has happened to me many times where kid will leave a car door open. I'll come down to leave for work, and the garage door's been left open all night.
But you remember, like, 3 summers ago, mm-hmm. out of the blue, gets warmer.
Yes. Yeah.
Wait a minute, in the summertime?
Yeah.
And this kid's like, oh, that's the way it always happens.
Yeah.
I want to crack him.
You want to crack him. Because then he's all like this.
Yeah. Then here she comes, uh-huh. and the sister.
See, you guys are mean. He started out, and then you made him nervous, so he couldn't get any stories out.
I completely refute that story. It was incoherent before we even spoke
about it. I'm a dick.
Here's how you sum it up. Look, I'm in this situation. The kids are living there. They're disrespectful. They're not following the rules. They need to get out of the house.
You know
what I mean?
And to that point,
Antarctica.
Yeah.
Anyway.
You didn't have two radio hosts yelling at you and making fun of you.
I will encourage you to listen back to that phone call and see if we gave him enough room to explain his story.
Kathy,
he got nervous.
There's tens of thousands of people listening.
Move on.
Yeah. Okay.
We're just trying to help them out.
We do have to move along.
We could have saved lives, and now many will die because of Kathy's insensitivity.
But then, here she comes in.
And then here she comes with her, like, a floral dress here, like, oh, look, it seems to be humid sometimes in the summer. And then here she comes. She's in the car. She's down at the beach. She's like, oh, there's sand everywhere. And I want to crack her.
Casey, this is not an accusation. It was your idea to go to one more call.
Here he comes.
Hey, let's go to one more call.
Yeah.
And I'm like, it's snowing in Antarctica, and it's hot as hell in the Sudan.
You know, did you ever see Let's Make a Deal? I went behind door number one. I should have picked door number two.
Not your fault.
All right,
and
not
here
my
he comes Monty Hall.
Mm-hmm. Dressed like a jack of clubs.
All right.
right?
Okay. All right. Okay. All right.
All right.
Not a puya. Not a
puya. Everybody.
We got to take a break. We have to. But anyhow, it's just an interesting scenario with these mom and dad actually sending an eviction notice to their own kid. And the court ruling on that side. We have to take a break. I want to give away some tickets, though, to Action Point, this screening. We have this movie coming up on the 31st, UA King of Prussia. And it will be in theaters everywhere on June 1st. Now, make sure that if you're headed to Keenan's, keep in mind that we have a chance for you to win a trip to Hollywood to go to the premiere, and there's all kinds of stuff that comes along with it. But I'll take five callers. We'll put you on this list.
Here he comes with a giveaway.
263-WMMR. It's on the 31st. At you need to be there at 6:30, UA King of Prussia. We're going to take a break. We'll be back in a second. B-File is on the way.
MMR's official opening of the Jersey Shore. Think of it as complete concert coverage to kick off summer and your Memorial Day weekend. This Friday, we're broadcasting live all day from some iconic shore points. Join Preston and Steve at Keenan's in North Wildwood with Coors Light, the world's most refreshing beer. Dig your toes in the sand in Atlantic City with Pierre Robert, live from Margaritaville. Jackson Rockstar Happy Hour at the Inlet in North Wildwood with Victory Brewing Company and the hashtag Summer Views Beachfront Bash. WMMR's official opening of the Jersey Shore from 93.3 WMMR. Everything that rocks your summer.
Listen, before we get to the Bizarre File, Marissa saw a tweet this morning from Sarah Bloomquist over at 6ABC about a young man who's a fan of the Preston and Steve Show and a fan of the Flyers. And his name is Tim, and he has he's wheelchair bound, and he has a specifically equipped van, and somebody stole it,
which is horrific.
Yeah,
because anybody who knows anything about somebody in Tim's situation, these kind of vehicles are specifically designed and have all sorts of equipment to accommodate them, and they're very expensive.
And there's a short video, and I don't know anything about this guy, so we got in touch, and Sarah is on the phone line now. So first, we want to welcome Sarah Bloomquist.
Hey! From 6ABC.
Hey, Sarah, how you doing?
Sure, I'm great. Thanks for having me.
No problem. I know you had to drop your daughter off at school this morning. Matt O'Donnell told me, so we appreciate you taking your time.
I'm multitasking.
Yeah, I understand how it is. So what can you tell us about this young man?
Oh, Tim is great. He's a huge Flyers fan. He's a big fan of your show. He specifically asked me to tag you guys in the tweet because he knew you would help to get his story out. He is 31 years old. He has Duchenne muscular dystrophy. He is in a wheelchair. His family, really nice. His mother, Donna, and his sister, Megan, spoke with us. They live up in the Burlome section in the city, so sort of the far northeast. And they've had this minivan since 2003. It's paid off, and it's sat out in their driveway. They use it to occasionally take Tim to a Flyers game and to his many doctor's appointments. And Saturday into Sunday, somebody took it. They woke up Sunday morning, and if they have a nurse at their home 16 hours a day, the nurse was just leaving, and they looked out in front, and the van was gone. Tim lost his father a couple of years ago. He nearly lost his life last summer when he had a medical setback, and he said he's been through so much, and this is one of the worst things he's been through because now he can't go anywhere. His family has no way to transport him, so just a really terrible situation. I feel so sorry.
Yeah, Sarah, we actually have a number of friends of the show and have been to a camp. Preston, you and I have gone out where we a number of the people there had Duchenne's, and it's a daunting lifestyle to lead. But things like this minivan obviously can provide some, you know, sense of mobility and obviously get him out to see games and so on and so forth.
And the doctor.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Where exactly was it taken from? And do we have any word, or do police know any leads
They're
or anything?
They're working on it. You know, they filed a police report, but it's a 2003 light blue Grand Caravan, and whoever got in it would have known immediately that it was specially equipped for somebody with a disability. It has the rails and the straps and things to hold the wheelchair in.
Ramp, probably, yeah.
Yes, everything. And this was the only thing they used it for, was to get Tim wherever he needed it. It was from the 1100 block of Shellmire, again, in the Burlham section of the city, which is way up there in the far northeast. Really nice neighborhood. They can't believe it that somebody
would drive off with it.
It's obviously not the kind of thing. It'll be obvious what it is used for. And if it's got to be in the general area, we would assume. So we want everyone to keep their eyes out for, again, the vehicle.
Light blue caravan.
Okay.
Yeah, light blue Dodge Grand Caravan. Okay. 2003, so an older model. They're concerned that somebody might have tried to, you know, sell it for the metal or the scrap.
Yeah.
And they really just want it back.
Well, if they is the focus right now on just getting it back, and then if they don't, are they gonna try and see if they can raise some funds to maybe get a new one? Is that on the table yet?
They do have a GoFundMe page. We've also had some great Action News. A viewer reached out who believes she might have a van available. So I haven't had a lot of time to work on that this morning, but that may be a development that happens. Okay. Through the day today, you know, we put these stories on the air, and our viewers are always so generous. So hopefully we can make something happen.
All right. Well,
all right. So what we'll do is we'll get the link to that GoFundMe. We'll put it up on our website. Obviously people keep an eye out for this vehicle, and if so, they should contact the police right away. And I know that we're looking at the video of him, and his room is just covered in Flyers memorabilia
and
logos. So hopefully the Flyers will get word out to their fans as well.
That would be great.
Yeah.
It's Northeast Detectives.
They have the report.
Yeah. So if anybody spots this van or thinks they might know where it is or who might have taken it, they would love to hear from anybody with a tip.
Okay. All right. Well, thanks for putting us in touch with this story, Sarah. We appreciate it.
Sure. Thanks for putting me on. I'm so happy to be able to pass it along and
okay.
You know, get some more attention.
We'll let you know if anything comes up, and you do the same, please. Thank you.
I will for sure. Thanks, right. Guys. Have a good morning.
You got it. Sarah Bloomquist, guys, from 6ABC. Ah, oh, that sucks.
It completely sucks.
They had to have, when they got in there or maybe got away with the vehicle and pulled over and looked at it, they had to have gone, oh, my God, somebody, you know, look at this. Somebody really needs this. And then who knows where it is now. Maybe they abandon it and they'll find it, which would be a good thing, hopefully. That sucks. All right. So, Tim, we're going to help work on that for you.
Yes.
We'll do what we can and help get the word out. And hopefully somebody can either track that down. And if that doesn't happen, maybe raise some money and try and get a new one. So
we'll help with that as well.
See what we can do. All right. Let's do the Bizarre File.
Now, Bizarre. WMMR presents Bizarre. Kristen and Steve's Bizarre File.
And it is brought to you by Deets & Watson Real Philly Deli. Looking for a real sandwich? Try the Santa Fe at Swarthmore Food Co-op and cast your vote in the Real Philly Deli Face-Off. That's at realphillydeli.com. Well, Saturday was Jacob Kaczynski's big day. His whole family, many from out of town, saw the Charleston, South Carolina student graduate from his Christian-based homeschool program with a 4.89 grade point average.
Wow.
And the coveted honor of summa cum laude. Now, his mother, Kara, organized a graduation party for her 18-year-old son. For the occasion, she ordered a cake online from her nearest grocery store, which is a Publix, and it lets customers build their own cake complete with a customized inscription, which they enter into a little message box. So carefully, she typed in the message that she wanted on the cake, which was, "Congrats, Jacob, summa cum laude, class of 2018. The Publix software was unhappy with the word cum, which is spelled C-U-M, as in come, and... In Latin, cum is the preposition with, as in summa cum laude, meaning with the highest distinction.
Mm-hmm.
To the little box on the Publix website, however, the word meant something else, and its sophisticated algorithm alert for naughty words returned a little message that said profane/special characters not allowed. It substituted three hyphens for the C-U-M.
It looks ridiculous.
The Publix form included a section for special instructions for the bakery, in which Kaczynski explained that summa cum laude was the Latin term for high academic honor and was not profane. She included a link to a website explaining the meaning of summa cum laude and said that she didn't think much about it afterwards. Well, she said she was so busy preparing things for the celebration that she sent her husband and sister to the store to get the last-minute items and to pick up the cake. When they returned, everyone gathered around the cake. When they opened the box, there it was. Congrats, Jacob. Summa--laude class of 2018.
Wow.
She said Jacob was absolutely humiliated. She said it was unbelievable. I can't believe that I'm the first one to ever write summa cum laude
exactly.
on a cake.
Exactly. Especially a cake around this time of a year. You would imagine they would encounter this all the time.
Kaczynski said that she then had to explain why the grocery store censored cum or cum from Jacob's cake to her 70-year-old mother
while Jacob's friends laughed uncontrollably.
It's so weird because going out the door as they're walking in was a cake that had Jizzaholic on it.
Oh, my God. Well, Jacob didn't eat much of the cake after that, but his mother says the chocolate and vanilla cake was delicious. Kaczynski called Publix on Monday. She explained the situation to the assistant manager. She said she doesn't want this to happen to anyone else in the future. Publix offered to remake the cakes, but she declined, and Publix ended up giving her a $70 refund for the cake and a store gift card. But, so she wasn't all bent out of shape about it.
Because it is kind of funny, but yeah. the cake itself is nice looking, but the handwriting's really crappy on this cake.
So
very pedestrian.
--- Loudy. A Florida man climbed atop a piece of equipment at a Clearwater Beach playground on Sunday and yelled at a bunch of children in the area. And his message, was, "Where babies come from."
Florida man.
Yes.
Florida man.
And where babies come from?
Yeah, police took Otis Dwayne Ryan into custody on a charge of disorderly conduct. Officers said Ryan at first was approaching tourists and making inappropriate comments to women in an effort to get their male partners to confront him. An officer in the area was watching him at the time and wrote, "I watched Ryan walk over to the busy playground area and climb to the top of one of the children's toys. It was being occupied by children between the ages of 4 and 6. And he said he then started shouting from the top, telling the children that babies come out of women, and he used a vulgar term in doing so."
Wow.
I'm sure it's the P word.
Yeah, I have no doubt. We're looking at a picture of him. He looks like an MS-13 gang member.
Yeah, at that time, parents were rushing to the area to remove their children. And police noted that Ryan has caused a number of disturbances in the area recently, and jail records show a number of arrests over the last year on charges of disorderly conduct, battery, and carrying a concealed weapon.
Florida man.
Yep. From the outside, the home in Hazleton looks like an ordinary residence, but police said that it was actually operating as an illegal after-hours nightclub and hookah lounge.
Hookah lounge?
Yeah, officers started getting
a hookah place down the street.
Listen to this. Officers started getting complaints last summer, and authorities, armed with a search warrant through the Liquor Control Board, raided the home early Sunday morning. Officers and agents removed more than 200 people and arrested homeowners Fernando Pinellas and Mira Gonzalez, as well as Alfredo Pinellas. 5 children were found sleeping on mattresses on the second floor at the time of the raid. The investigation found the illegal nightclub would open around 2:30 a.m.
Wow.
And close several hours later, and the house would hold between 1 and 300 people with armed security at the entrances. This is a standard neighborhood home, and they're packing it with that many people.
I wonder how many times or how much this happens where people in residential sections will do these sort of after-hours clubs.
During the investigation, undercover agents discovered bartenders, waitresses, DJs, and a hookah lounge.
Oh, my God.
Windows were also soundproofed with plywood and foam, which officers said created a fire hazard. Investigators removed 100 hookah pipes, a commercial sound system, 90 bottles of alcohol, and nearly $900 in cash. Police say they stopped by the home in Hazleton multiple times and cited the owner for a variety of complaints. But they had a full-on club going on.
That's amazing.
At their house, yes.
100 hookah pipes.
Yep.
They're really big.
They're big.
Yeah.
That's the thing. I was curious as to how they fit all those in there. All right, and there you go. That's what I have for you in the Bizarre File this morning. Let's take a quick break. Come back in a moment. Don't forget our Word of the Week prize. Cool setup with Strike Force Laser Tag. And we'll get to the details and the letter coming up at the end of the program. We shall return in just a moment. Stay with us. Garden Valley High School, it's up to you to let us know who the coolest teacher is. Just a heads up. We'll be right back.
93.3 WMMR presents Preston and Steve's Weekly Rush, a video highlights compilation gleaned from an entire week's worth of laughs. Available now in the Get Local section of Xfinity On Demand.
Nick has a mystery sound for us.
Yes, I love mystery sounds. Yeah. Thank you, Nick.
You're welcome. So,
that's a mystery.
I heard it, and I thought of you guys immediately, and I thought it might be a little fun to play with it, because I don't know if you'll be able to guess it, but you might.
Okay. You know what? So, again, my life basically revolves around America's Funniest Home Videos. I reference them 35 times a week. They do have a section where they'll play a sound. You play, right, Case? You know.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Do they give you a choice where, is it a lawnmower?
No, sometimes they don't.
Oh, okay.
Sometimes they just play they have a visual representation of the sound wave.
Yeah.
And then they'll play it a couple times, and you got to guess.
I like those, too.
Yeah.
Was you don't have to answer this.
Okay.
Was this found on social media?
It was.
Okay.
Yesterday, I believe. Yeah, yesterday. And it was on a reputable news site that I saw this video and heard this sound.
All right. So just us going to guess. Us going to try and guess here?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. I want to hear this. Here we go.
I know what it is.
You do?
I'll have to recuse myself.
You saw the video?
Yes.
Okay. Okay.
Sounds like Halloween.
This is so freaking cool. This is so cool. Who runs into this?
I'm thinking it's animals of some sort.
It sounds like a haunted house on Halloween.
It's actually 601 at Keenan's on Friday.
Hang on. I want to hear a little more of that.
Oh,
you have a guess?
I think it's goats.
I was going to say sheep.
You're both wrong, but okay. You're right that it's animals.
Oh, okay. I don't think they're birds because it sounds like it's a flock or, you know, a group. And
a murderer or a pod.
Yeah. Oh!
Are they frogs?
Nope.
Remember I heard that frog scream that one night?
You're heading in the wrong direction.
Is it coyotes?
Yeah. It's a queef of pelicans.
Is it a giggle of hyenas?
Fox.
No. Hang on a second. Hang on. I want to hear more.
It's actually a little...
I think it's people pretending to be animals.
No. Wait, there's a big one coming up here. Hang on.
What?
All right, I'll give you two hints. It's two animals.
Right. Yeah,
they're in Canada.
Okay,
and it's a mammal.
They're in Canada, and it's a mammal.
Is it
and
a blue whale?
Two of them. Oh, wait a minute. Is it? They're not killer whales, are they?
Nope.
They're orca? No.
No. Land mammals.
Oh, land mammals.
Land orcas.
That's what I'm thinking. It has to be big.
You would be wrong.
Yeah.
Okay. Hang on a second.
It sounds like a larger.
It's sort of a variation.
Is it a liger?
You're heading in the right direction.
A liger headed in the right direction. Are they bobcats of some sort?
You're getting there.
Okay.
Yeah, very, very close.
Cougars or mountain lions.
Billcats.
Billcats.
No.
What are billcats?
It's like a bobcat, but
Bill. It's smarter. Bill.
Yeah. It's very much like a bobcat.
Lynx.
A lynx.
Yeah. That's it.
Yeah. Oh, it's two lynxes.
Two lynxes. Are they babies? No, they're not.
No, that's a larger animal.
It's about the size of a like a dog. Like a dog.
A dog, yeah. That's what I was
like
thinking.
A Labrador or something.
Yeah, it couldn't
like
be something small.
When you mention orcas.
Okay.
Yeah.
So instead of that's their version of meowing, I guess. And they're bigger.
I think it's sort of a bit of a Mexican standoff, as they say. Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, I hear something similar every single day because my cat hates my dog.
Yeah.
Hates him. And anytime my dog comes into the room, the cat's like, huh.
You know what?
I knew it wasn't cats because it's a little bit
country.
No. Like this was a little bit of a stronger sound, and it sounded like humans. But I could tell it was larger than a house cat.
Wouldn't you think after a while that animals that don't get along
would
eventually just freaking chill out and get along after a while? My two cats, we had them forever. You know, the last one died at 22 years old. The other one lived to be at least 20 years old, and they hated each other the entire time. Yeah. The whole reason behind getting the other cat
was so we would
have a buddy.
Yes.
Yeah,
yeah. Sucked.
Preston, same thing. My cat, I mean, forever. When I moved back home after college, I mean, never got along with the other cats in the house the entire time, which was what led me to get to this time because I thought if you bring them in at the same time, they're going to have to like each other
For the most. Yeah, for the most part, if you sort of set, because we have nine, and they, for the most part, they get along. But it sucks when you do that and you think, here we go. Buds for life.
Yeah.
Paws around each other. And they just as with humans, they don't like, I don't like that guy. Yeah. You know, Pierre's Lucy, the dog that everyone loved, just the most beautiful, wonderful dog, hated other dogs.
Yeah.
Hated other dogs.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, my dog hates people but loves other dogs.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's weird.
Really?
Yeah.
Your dog, so just yaps at people when they come in?
Oh, yeah.
Except my
for
dog.
Your family.
Except for my family. Right. You have to establish yourself for a little while. Like my buddy Jeff can come in without the dog barking. My cousin George can. That's pretty much it.
Okay.
It's really nice.
All right. Lynx as it is. And there we go.
You guys enjoy that?
Mystery has been solved. All absolutely. Right, hey, I wanted to ask a question because Kathy had mentioned in her live commercial Hawaii, and I keep going back to this volcano thing. And every day there's new updates on it's getting worse, and now you have to worry about the air you're breathing and all that stuff. You know that there are people that are probably flying out this week to go to Hawaii for some vacation that they've been planning over a year for now.
So.
And but the other islands are okay.
No, they're fine.
They're fine.
Yeah, but the question is, people might be going to the big
directly
island.
To Hawaii because each island has its draw. One of the main draws of Hawaii, the big island, the volcano.
Yeah.
So, but your question posed earlier, Preston. So, besides people who already had a trip planned, if you're a travel agent, maybe you can give us some information, but. Do prices start to drop?
Yeah,
is now the time to go?
Is now a good time to buy in?
Well, I think now would be a time to go. Even like, let's say you had already had the plip, the plip trend,
the plip trend,
the plip trend.
Yes, I have two plips trends. the trip plan. I would like to cancel one of the plips, and I like to co-train the other.
But if you had already planned this. I would go, unless you're going like right into like where the lava flow is.
Most planes don't land there.
I would still go because you got to figure a lot of people are going to cancel their plips.
Yeah.
And
hotel plips have been canceled.
Yes. So my friend of mine, after 9/11, went to Disney World. And I mean, like right after 9/11, that happened on a Tuesday. He was there that weekend.
Did he notice a marked reduction in prices?
He had sex with
Mickey Mouse.
He would sit on a roller coaster and stay on it.
Wow.
He said it was the most abandoned the park has ever been.
Now, Lord knows you don't hope for stuff like that, but here's a natural occurrence.
It's a natural occurrence.
By the way, Jesus, I think I would love to see some of this stuff, you know?
There was a picture of guys playing golf, and you know you could see lava shooting up behind them. This is not going to interfere with my vacation. Are you kidding?
And also, it will eventually pipe down.
Yeah.
What does the real estate situation become? Our areas because you and I watched the show which like Real Estate Hawaii or whatever the hell the name of it was, and we've mentioned this many times on the show. There's various zones that determine how likely it is the house you own will be burned down by lava. And I think now the map has been redrawn after this.
Well, you remember, they can't get homeowners insurance.
Right, yeah.
They can't get insurance when they live over there. I don't know typically what it costs to go, what it costs to fly to Hawaii, but it doesn't look like...
driving's the better option.
Yeah. It doesn't look like much has changed, at least based on which island you go to.
I looked into flying the whole family out there a couple of years ago, and I kid you not, to fly the five of us there and back was like around $10,000.
So it looks like now...
It's astronomical.
It's like about $1,000 a flight.
There you go.
Yeah.
Well,
So I don't know if that's down from...
I want a travel agent, because that's what you're seeing posted.
Right.
But you know, that'll probably be their outward appearance, but I bet you... As Casey was mentioning earlier, as the plips get canceled.
Yeah. Are there hidden deals or are the deals that are just creeping up now? Because
Right.
You know, one thing that I learned recently about Hawaii is that I had a friend who went and she they used to be really cheap inter-island flights.
Yeah.
Those have gone away.
Really?
Oh my God.
You can't fly cheap from island to island anymore. I think, Kathy, because they want you to stay on the island. The goal is if you're going to go to Maui, stay on Maui.
Really?
And spend your money and I don't know, but you used to be able to do an island hopping flight for like $80-$90 from one of the islands to the next. Now it's a standard flight price. It's like $300-$400.
Whoa.
Yeah, and there are no real ships to go in between the islands either. It's not like you can take a cruise there.
Are there? See, I've always done whatever island I was on was the one I did at the time.
Right.
So,
okay.
So and didn't do any of the island jumping, but I was always under the impression that there was some sort of boat activity between the islands. I
never looked into it.
I don't think there's any cruise
no ship ferries docks or anything like that.
However,
like
if you do take a cruise to Hawaii, they will do that.
Yeah,
you can take a cruise there.
I thought there was a straight up Hawaii cruise. I don't know. Yeah,
I've never been to Hawaii. It's certainly right near the top of the list. I would love to get there.
When you went there and almost got stabbed to death,
yeah.
What island were you on?
Maui.
Yeah. All right. I'm wondering if maybe we could patch things up.
Stay. Let's not talk about that anymore.
Yeah.
I'm going to go to Bill. Hi, Bill. You're on the air. Good morning.
Hi.
Hi.
I was down in Orlando. I have a timeshare down there. And I was down there the Saturday after 9/11 also. My flight got canceled. I had to get down there by train. It was empty.
Wow.
And there was no plane flying anywhere in the sky. You never saw any of that or anything else. I went to a couple different golf courses, including Falcons Fire, which I believe you guys played at one point.
Yeah. Casey and I played there.
Yeah, great course. And it was really weird, but the whole place was kind of dead. And everybody was not really in a celebratory
mood.
Well,
sure, yeah.
Did anyone suggest as to why they weren't?
Dude. No, I know what you're saying, Bill. No, you're right about that. And that's why I was curious. Thanks for your call, by the way. That's why I was curious about if there are people that will kind of keep an eye on the national news.
Sure.
And see if, you know, a hurricane just came through. Let's go there because it's going to be really cheap. You know what I mean?
Or in other words, so we had a pretty robust hurricane season that we just had. So.
What
the hell is
that?
What
was that noise?
My phone.
Oh, my God, Kathy. Your real estate, your travel agent's calling. There's blips have never been cheaper.
So try to get to Hawaii.
So
train your blip now,
going down to the resorts, going down to the islands, as they start to want to bring people back.
Oh, yeah.
Are you going to get really competitive prices?
Well, I saw some deals, Steve, for people going to the Virgin Islands and helping with repairs because they got slammed so badly.
I don't want to help
repairs either. Like if I'm going on vacation.
I really don't want to be moving cinder blocks.
But it would be a way to go and do some work maybe and get a cheap vacation.
I can hear that, but what on just the regular tourist level, what are other savings to be had? Well, you never want to be opportunistic, but if there's an option, why not?
I'm on PlipAdvisor.com right now. I'm just kidding.
Hang on. Let me go to the few people who are taking cruises to Hawaii. Let me go to this. I have Roger. Hi, Roger. You're on the air. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Good, Raj. When are you going on your cruise?
We're actually going in the end of July. It's our 10-year anniversary. We got married there 10 years ago.
All right, well, are you concerned about the volcano stuff that's going on? I mean, it's a little ways off, so you might be good.
Well, the only thing I'm concerned about is the excursions that we have from the cruise ship to that island, but we're going to four different islands. So I'm not really that concerned, but it's one thing we're watching and seeing all the lava flows. Like you were talking about the golf pictures, I saw that as well.
Yeah.
A new thing sprouted up. It's the volcanicane, which is
volcanicane.
It's hurricane and volcanic.
Hey, you know what? How many days does it take for you to go from? I assume you're leaving from California.
No, see, so we're flying into Hawaii, and Norwegian Cruise Lines. They actually have a 7-day cruise that.
I thought so.
And they cruise all the islands.
Okay, all right. That's interesting.
Well, actually, I was always under the assumption, as you were present, that you depart from, say, like, you take a couple days over to Hawaii.
Yeah.
You know, and then it would be a longer trip. But, I mean, that is a situation where you do benefit by being on a cruise ship because you get to go to those different islands.
Yeah.
And what are the islands you're going to?
We're going to Oahu, the Big Island, well, maybe not anymore, Maui, and I think Kauai as well. Hawaii.
All right, so maybe, I don't know, though. We were looking at some footage and up on the screens here, and I don't know if can they swap out one excursion for because the lava has made it to the ocean now.
Yeah.
And there were people in a boat. I don't know if it was a private boat, the video they were showing up here in the screens. But, you know, does that become an option now to go watch that?
Somebody who sent in text says, we got a great deal on an all-inclusive in Cancun right now after the tainted alcohol scandal.
Yeah, I saw some of those
tainted
deals.
Alcohol?
Yeah, there was...
Tastes like taint.
No. There was alcohol poisoning. There were people who died.
Yeah,
it was an awful story. Yeah. And there were more than one... resort in like near Tulum, near Riviera Maya, near Cancun.
I didn't hear this.
Yeah, we talked about it, but anyway, Bill Burns, I think, in our sales department, canceled a trip to Mexico because of this. And so the big problem was that there was a lot of tainted alcohol in several of these resorts.
Tainted with what?
I don't remember, but it was bad enough to cause serious illnesses and a death.
Wow. I'm going to go over to Ryan. Hi, Ryan. You're on the air. Good morning.
Hey, bitches.
Hey, what?
I just wanted to say I was there on my honeymoon 2 months ago on the Big Island. Yeah. And everything was fine. And I just actually received an email from the golf course that I played at when I was there. And it was like the northwest corner of the island. They said, everything's fine. You know, the only damage that occurred was the southeast corner. We're still accepting all visitors.
All right.
So I guess the resorts are kind of, you know, obviously feeling it. Everybody's kind of hesitant to go there.
So they're trying to be preemptive. But you got the impression that they were trying to. And how long ago were you there? I'm sorry.
The beginning of middle of February.
All right, middle of February. Okay. Yep.
So I wonder if that's where you'd save on the hotel.
That's what I'm wondering.
You know, maybe not a flight.
Did they indicate if the prices were low?
Yeah, they didn't. They said everything was operating normally. I know that the prices for our flights when we went there, I know Kathy was just saying they were about $1,000. They were probably about $1,500 when we went.
Okay. So
they dropped a little bit.
All right. Yeah,
that's
a good point. And the hotel can boast about their golf course having new lava traps.
Yeah.
Why not?
Lunkers.
Call
those. All right. Thanks, Ryan. Appreciate it.
Wow.
Actually, Brian just got his ticket to go to the Big Island. Brian, you're on the air. Good morning.
Gadzooks, guys.
Gadzooks. What's up, buddy?
Yeah. So I bought tickets to the Big Island for Christmas for about $1,100 round trip for everybody in my family.
Okay.
And it's that side of the Big Island. So it's about 20 miles away from where there's some new land being made by the lava.
Mm-hmm.
And so it seems like it's gone down a little bit, but not, I mean, I guess, you know, for Christmas, that's pretty cheap.
Yeah. When are you going?
The 23rd, and we're coming back right after New Year's.
So you're going for next year.
Oh, okay.
Okay. So you're right now, I wonder if someone were to get on the phone with their travel agent right now.
Yeah.
And what they would say, because.
Well, he just booked it last night. So
yeah. But he's booking it for way in advance. I'm saying if you want to go.
Like if you're going
let's go at the end of the month. Yes. You know what I mean?
Well, let's find out.
I think it does because.
Thanks, Brian.
Yeah.
I think it's when you're booking.
Well, if you're for example. Right now they're in the thick of it and things look like it could break it either way. So, you know, but they're not cutting off travel to Hawaii. But it just can be an inconvenience.
Do you guys know about that general rule of thumb? I think we've talked about it where flights, the best day to book flights during the week is Tuesdays.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Tuesday morning.
I don't know if it's legit or not.
I don't think either. It is.
If where you're going is engulfed in lava, yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
I've tried to look for deals on flights.
Yeah, me
and
too.
It's just, I'm like, whatever, man. You know, they're hard to find, I think.
We always
got to jump through hoops.
Through a travel agent. The same, Kathy's travel agent.
Yeah, Rudy.
Same guy, Rudy, does a great job. And so.
I don't know. I used him one time. It was super duper expensive.
Yeah, but we told him.
This guy
is loaded.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, but that's the thing. It depends on where you're going. Like, they don't get. They can get you, like, package deals. They can't really. They can't get deals on airlines, I don't think.
No.
Yeah.
And you like to do that stuff anyway.
I do like to. I like to be the travel agent. It's kind of fun. I don't know why.
Captain.
Doing the research.
Yeah. Well, listen, that is part of the fun of the trip for you.
Yeah.
Laying out the itinerary.
Yep. Yep. Exactly. Hang on a second. It's Dina, who grew up in Hawaii. Hi. You're on the air. Good morning.
Aloha. Guess.
Aloha.
Hey. So you grew up there?
I grew up on Oahu, and I take my family every year because I still have family out there, and. I watch the airfare like a hawk, and I will tell you, every month I get email alerts, and I bought my tickets. We're going in June, actually, to the Big Island, of all places, and to Oahu for a week. I bought my tickets in January, and the lowest I could find it was like $960.
Okay.
And I'm still getting alerts right now, and the tickets are above $1,000.
Wow. So it hasn't changed much then?
No. And you know what? That Tuesday thing, trust me, I'm on Tuesdays all the time looking for deals. And to Hawaii, the tickets don't fluctuate. I mean, the lowest I've ever gone to Hawaii was $700, and that was several years ago.
And so, is that one way?
No, round trip.
That's round trip. Okay. Right.
That's a lovely Hawaiian accent.
Yeah.
And the other thing is that on the Big Island, again, I'm looking at, you know, activities for my family. We stay on the western side in Kona. And the only reason that we would cancel the trip is if the airport closes. And right now, both the Kona airport and the airport in Hilo, which is north of where the volcano is, they're both still open.
Hilo, so, is Hilo the more populated side of the island?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. But the cruise ships go, and the cruise ships go into both Kona and Hilo. As of right now, the cruise ships are not going to...
What's that?
Other islands.
The cruise ships are not going to the other islands?
Mm.
No, they're only going to the other islands.
Oh, they're
islands.
Only going to the other islands.
Oh, yeah, yeah, because, you know, the whole volcano thing.
Yeah, that thing.
Yeah.
All right.
Asterisk, sea volcano.
Thank, yeah. Thank you, Dina. Appreciate it.
Are there any direct flights from here? Or you
direct?
Got...
Direct?
Yeah.
There are
from Newark.
Well,
Newark.
Yeah. So
I thought they were doing it now.
Well, you mean where you don't have to actually switch planes?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there may be. Because there's a difference between direct and nonstop.
Okay.
Direct, you can still land and
people
get on and off,
yeah.
And you keep going, okay. But you don't deplane. That's connecting flight if you do get on.
All right, well then...
nonstop is...
Yeah, nonstop.
They don't. I don't think there's... No, I don't think there's
I don't
any
think you
nonstop
do that, right, yeah.
flights from...
Not enough fuel.
I don't think so.
Yeah, oh, sure. Yeah, there are from Newark.
Yeah, I guess so.
There are nonstop flights from Newark to Hawaii, yes.
Wow.
Jesus.
I was not aware. Man. Shows you how much we know.
Well, we don't fly to Hawaii a lot.
All right. Anyway, well, I was just curious. I thought maybe I would think that that prices would drop.
Come on, man. Natural disasters should at least be economical.
I think so. I guess not. All right. Listen, I want to take a break and come back in a moment. Let's do some more of these movie passes. We're trying to pack this theater because we got this screening coming up for Action Point, and it will be on the 31st. What day is that? I don't know.
It's a week from tomorrow.
So it's a week from tomorrow. It's so next Thursday.
Yar.
This will be at the UA King of Prussia at 7 p.m. You need to be there by 6:30. Here's the deal. When we are at Keenan's on Friday, we're going to be giving away a trip to see the premiere of that movie on that same day, but in Hollywood. And that trip includes airfare, two nights at a Santa Monica area hotel, admission to the premiere, $175 Visa gift card for meals and sightseeing, and a two-hour beach bar cycle for two.
That's so cool.
We will give that away while we are at Keenan's on Friday. We'll take a break, come back in just a second. Stay with us.
This 93.3 WMMR audio on demand program returns after a brief word from our sponsors.
Hey, it's Preston. Listen, when I want to relax, I go to Hand and Stone Massage Facial Spa. Listen, whether you want a rejuvenating massage or refreshing facial, Hand and Stone is the place to go. Introductory massages or facials start at just $59.95. Visit handandstone.com or one of their 50 locations in the Delaware Valley. Restrictions apply. See spa for details.
French Creek Outfitters in Phoenixville has everything you need for the great outdoors and beyond. All the big-name brands, they have them. Visit FrenchCreekOutfitters.com for additional info. French Creek Outfitters, why take a chance with anybody else?
Are you ready for love? If so, Stephen makes it easy, hand-picking diamonds, to create a stunning engagement ring that's guaranteed to take her breath away. Stephen Singer Jewelers, real love experts at the other corner of 8th and Walnut, or IHateStephenSinger.com.
This is the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
Did you ever notice a certain thing or two?
Oh my God.
In your time, I have.
The Noticer has returned with an incredible intro that will stand the test of time in broadcast history.
I have noticed, and I'm sure you have as well, how wonderful.
What has the Noticer noticed?
I've noticed how wonderful Play-Doh smells.
It's intoxicating, isn't it, Noticer?
It is very intoxicating.
All right, I'll go away for a while now.
It smells
nostalgic
and kind of yummy.
I think it does.
It smells yummy.
Doesn't taste like it.
It doesn't taste yummy, but it does smell like you could, especially when it's fresh. When you open up a brand new can of Play-Doh and you pull it out, I really want to bite into it. Now, it's edible.
Do it.
You can't eat it,
mm-hmm.
but it just doesn't taste good. It tastes horrible. It's super duper salty.
What would you say is there sort of a, like a, almost like a
lemony, a little bit of a lemony smell.
I have the company description. And the reason I bring this up is because Hasbro has now trademarked the scent of Play-Doh.
Mm. One of the few times, I think one of the maybe handful, if not the only time a toy's smell has been trademarked.
I got to believe that.
Yeah.
There are plenty of scents.
There's Kathy Fart-A-Lot, the doll.
Yeah.
But
there are plenty of scents that are trademarked. But now they have trademarked the scent of Play-Doh, and the company describes it as sweet, slightly musky, vanilla-like fragrance with slight overtones of cherry and the natural smell of a salted wheat-based dough.
Okay, so the vanilla is, I guess, what I was keying
maybe
in on. That's because it's a pleasant smell to me. To me, every time I smell it, I feel, you know, nostalgic. You feel like a kid. Yeah. It brings back so many good memories.
Yeah.
We made it one time. It was like a class project. It's probably high school, and it was like an art project. And it was we were making it for elementary school kids. You know,
yeah,
so
yeah.
Like, we were going to do some counseling or something like that. And so it was homemade Play-Doh, and the ingredients were really basic. And whatever we made, the teacher at the end of it was like, you guys can eat this if you want to. I mean, you know, sort of the
eat it!
Well, yeah, but
that, even back then.
That's more edible than the actual Play-Doh.
Exactly.
Play-Doh is non-toxic, but it's not really edible.
Right.
What you make
eat it.
At school, they make it so that you can actually eat it and kind of enjoy it.
Exactly. So
could you bake it? It is dough.
I doubt that.
I think you can.
Really?
Yeah, because I think I have.
It is Play-Doh.
But
and therefore,
doesn't it just harden? It doesn't really.
Yeah,
it
yeah,
doesn't really cook.
But
you're
not
se.
Making.
Bread.
Could you not bake whatever you created, your little Play-Doh sculpture? Could you bake it into something that would
something more permanent?
That yes. would solidify.
It just gets hard. It gets rock hard.
Yeah, but he's saying
rock
like
hard. Rock hard.
Rock hard.
The notice is rock hard.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Nick, I'm going to
make
it
my regular.
I'm
going to
make it my regular
thing.
Saturday night thing.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
Oh
yeah. Oh yeah.
I know what you're saying. Like a ceramic, you know, like a,
yes.
a pottery that you're.
That's
making,
my. That's my idea. Making. If you had something that you were particularly fond of and you wanted to. The same way you would put a pot or clay in a kiln.
I don't know.
You know, that's how we lost one of our sorority girls.
That's right. Von Liebowitz died in a kiln accident. I forgot about that. No, the company.
She was going to make me a pot.
The company tells Gizmodo, registering the iconic Play-Doh scent as a trademark gives Hasbro a whole host of fun and creative opportunities in the future.
Like what?
But in the present moment, plans are not currently set. Yeah, no. I don't know. Maybe Play-Doh based.
Perfume?
Well, no. Oh my God, you smell like Play-Doh.
I wouldn't
oh
mind
God,
it.
You smell like dough.
Yeah. No, but then maybe like air fresheners, you know, like you hang in your car, Play-Doh scent.
Or like perhaps that. Different scents or variations on the scent that match the color of the Play-Doh.
You can add this to my list. I hate Play-Doh.
But no matter the color of the Play-Doh, the scent is always the same.
Quick question. Did you hate Play-Doh before, Jace, or after?
I've always hated Play-Doh.
Okay.
I maybe when I was a kid, I don't really remember, but for as long as I can remember... Hated Play-Doh.
Why did you not like it? What did you did you like Silly Putty?
I did like Silly Putty, yes.
Okay, so I got you now. I know where you fall.
All of the things that you guys are saying you like are the reasons that I don't like it. I hated the scent. I hated the texture. I hated that it hardened so quickly.
All right.
Wow.
She hates it when it's hard.
Yeah. And what did you love about Silly Putty?
Silly Putty had no scent, really.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, it was... I guess it wasn't as strong.
Not as strong. I disagree. Yeah. I think Silly Putty...
It did have a scent.
Had a very specific scent to it.
Mm. And it wasn't as messy.
That is true, because the one thing about... no, she's
I'm
right.
Serious.
Because
serious.
Messy.
Messy. Play-Doh could get ground into a carpet or
oh, listen, Play-Doh in my house is an outdoor toy. We play with it outside.
Wow.
Yeah, you sorry. I know, sorry.
Fun mom over here.
Why don't you take all your toys outside into the pit that I have?
No, listen, Jace's cousin comes
go
over
out to your play pit
all the time, and she's obsessed with Play-Doh. She loves it. She knows exactly where it is in the house, which, by the way, it's out of children's reach, so they right. can't just take it down and play with it. And she's like, why is it an outdoor toy? I'm like, at my house, it's an outdoor toy.
What about, have you guys started making slime yet? Have you guys
at your house?
No, Jason. We made it one time, and he didn't like it.
It's a daily occurrence at our house.
If you don't like the consistency of Play-Doh, there's no way you're going
to
like slime.
Yeah, I got all the stuff to make it. We even put these fun little colored things in it, and we made it, and he never once played with it, so we didn't have to make it again.
Real quick, let me go to Heather. She wants to comment on what happens when Play-Doh is baked. Hi, Heather. You're on the air. Good morning.
Good morning. It melts.
It melts.
It melts, really?
It's soupy.
So,
the reason why I know is because when I was younger, I put on one of those little plastic records on those record players.
Yeah.
And asked my sister if it was hot, and I stuck her hand in it. So it does melt.
Interesting. Well, I know that, thanks, Heather, by the way, if you leave it out, of the container, it will dry up and it will harden.
Yes, it will. I just figured because it had dough in it, which you can bake, that it would do that.
That'd make them hard. I don't really know. So
become hard.
They have now, they have now trademarked the scent of Play-Doh. So I don't know what they're going to do with it, but something down the road, I'm sure, is going to happen.
More from the noticer.
Yeah,
more
I noticed
stories that he notices, so you don't have to.
Do you ever notice the length of men's legs?
All the time.
I'll bet.
All right. I'm intrigued because I have a friend that we kind of made fun of for looking like a gorilla / caveman growing up because he had relatively short legs to his body, but a big upper body. Okay.
Well, if you thought that bulging biceps would attract women, you might be right. But a new study finds that women are most attracted to men with long legs.
All right. This guy had short legs.
Yeah. University of Cambridge researchers showed 341.
That's bad news.
Women. Computer-generated images of men based on real-life men, and the women were then asked to rate the attractiveness of the men in the images as their arms and legs were manipulated. The men who were ranked most attractive when their legs were slightly longer than average, but the length of their arms had no impact on their attractiveness rating.
Yeah.
Thought this attraction to long-legged men is instinctual for women, as science has linked short legs to an increased risk of diabetes, heart disease, high blood pressure, and dementia. Really?
I think
short legs mean all those things? I just thought if your legs are really short, your testicles will scrape.
Yeah. I just, ultimately, it has everything to do with the guy's face. What the face looks like is, you know.
Well, didn't we discuss, Kathy, when you're attracted to a man, what's the first, or what's the body, what's a real deal maker for body part wise?
I mean,
because the face has got to figure into it.
Yeah, I think so. But I think I would agree with the biceps. I'm not sure. I don't think I find myself noticing their legs and the length of them.
It just seems kind of weird.
You know?
I think a lot of these studies, that they come out with these things like pheromones and the scent and so on and so forth, I think are these subconscious
things.
You're not really looking at it, but there's something about that guy.
Yeah.
And it might be their legs or their scent, and you're not registering that consciously is what it is.
Most women don't want to spend the day helping their boyfriend build a phone so he can call his home planet.
Right.
We used to joke about my friend, his legs were so long that when he would reach into his back pocket to grab his wallet, he would just reach over his shoulder because his ass was so far
up on his shoulder.
He had one of those?
Yeah, really, really.
Yeah, a really high ass is a weird thing.
So the study leader, Dr. William Sklark, said
actually, we conducted a 10-year experiment and yielded some rather interesting results.
He said the observed.
You're going to be my regular Saturday night.
You're going to be my regular Saturday night thing, which involves a Bunsen burner and some clamps.
Clamps?
Oh, yeah.
The observed preference for leg-body ratios that are at or slightly above average accords with the idea that these signals that the fitness of the prospective male.
Does it in any way serve as an indicator or a perceived indicator of genital size?
You never know. I don't know.
I've heard that large noses for women indicate genital size.
All I see is Dr. Mike saying you're wrong.
Okay. Wrong.
And I don't know exactly what that's in reference to.
Everything today.
Let's find out. Dr. Mike Sirigliano, Penn Medicine, and Fox 29. Hey there, buddy.
Listen, there have been a number of studies. This is
fascinating stuff. So it goes back to the Cro-Magnon man.
Yeah.
And women are attracted to men who have a shorter distance between their forehead and the lower part and the top part of their cheeks or the lower part
of
their eyes.
Not all women.
And it has to do and they've studied this and they've looked at like Brad Pitt.
Boo.
And he has a more narrow measurement than others. And the thinking is, and the theory is, it goes back to Cro-Magnon men, and it's genetically predisposed to have women attracted to them because they were strong. It's just like what you're talking about, leg length and all of that. It has to do
So indicators of a physical strength are still, or just because of our, it's hereditary, women are going to be at least statistically more inclined to find that attractive.
Absolutely, and it explains my problems. I was off by half an inch.
There you go. Otherwise, you'd be beating them away.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is all of these things, if you look at the fascinating evolution of humanity. The bottom line is that we have control over some things, but a lot of things we don't. It's inherent. And so you might look in a room of people and find one person that kind of fits your model genetically and historically and environmentally, what makes your engine run.
Right. Okay. So obviously with any of these surveys, the data that they call is not absolutely across the boards, but the perhaps a majority of people, but not everyone.
Well, there's so many variables, Steve. Yeah. I mean, you may fit the Cro-Magnon look.
And I do.
But then you may not fit the upbringing societal. You don't remind her of her father. You know, there's a lot of science that goes into to that as well. So it's multifactorial.
I'm also playfully Neanderthal, though, I think. And I think, wouldn't you agree, Preston, you and I both have the better parts of Neanderthal man?
Yeah, probably. Yeah, yeah. The better parts.
Well, having seen the better parts,
yeah.
I would validate that.
There we go. Thank you. God bless you for backing up our Neanderthalism.
Thank you, Dr. Mike.
Well, I just, I come into the room in between patients. I hear things, and I have to make a comment on that.
You know what?
I love it.
If honestly, the amount of misinformation we impart, we're just glad to have a glimmer of accuracy when you call in.
Well, I love you guys. And Steve, I love you. And Preston, that cough. If it's not getting better, call me, man.
All right. Yeah, I will. And I also got a nerve block done on my back the other day.
Is it working?
Talk to you about that a little later on.
All right. What Dr. Mike knows about us is amazing.
He knows everything.
I love you, too. And Preston seems to have a little bit better reaction after this little treatment you had, right?
I love it. Love it.
Love you.
Love you.
Dr. Mike Sirigliano. Yeah.
We can just have our appointments right now.
We should. Just,
if we
not?
Wave our HIPAA stuff, we should. It would be so easy to do it.
Why not? I had I had needles shoved in my back the other day.
Not acupuncture style.
No.
No, with a hammer.
Oh, like in his spine.
Yeah, I had to, like, into the nerve.
I'm vomiting.
Some shots in there. But speaking of a HIPAA, while I was at my appointment, ma'am, one of the doctors was going off on a nurse about HIPAA violations. He was like, I might have to write you up for a HIPAA violation.
Wow.
And I couldn't
what
figure
she
out.
Done?
I don't know. But the nurse that was helping me kind of looked at me with wide eyes going like,
Who here's for a rectal probe?
What's that?
That would be me.
Yeah.
You, sir? Yeah, you need the rectal probe. Gotcha.
What is your name and address?
And what's exactly wrong with your ass?
Yeah.
There was some,
could we
there,
go back and talk about this?
I was having a conversation with some listeners on Saturday at the MMRBQ, and they were talking about HIPAA violations because there was somebody who was performing at MMRBQ who saw a medical specialist last week, and that medical specialist had some siblings who were at MMRBQ. I'm trying to be vague in my description here.
Okay.
But it was interesting because they knew about it, and then they told me about it. And they're like, we're sure that this is HIPAA violations, but their sibling told them about it, too.
Mm.
You know?
Wait, I don't follow you.
There was somebody who was performing at MMRBQ.
Yeah.
Sort of out of the gratitude for the service, they were allowed to come, and they knew the medical procedure that set it all off?
This performer needed some medical attention.
All right.
That person that provided the medical attention to the performer had friends and relatives at MMRBQ as listeners. I was chatting with them, and they were privy to inside information.
All right, so did they know what medical... yes. Okay, well, listen, I would have a problem with that. And I would say something to that doctor. Listen, I know this.
It wasn't a doctor, though. I don't know if that's...
Dentist?
No.
Which doctor?
A specialist.
Or shoe salesman.
Yes.
A haberdasher.
It's just somebody that that falls under the HIPAA.
A colonial soldier.
Well, I mean, I don't know.
Do they have a Hippocratic oath?
Yes.
Well, then I would say something.
Not a doctor.
Write it down.
I don't think I should.
An orthodontist?
Well, don't worry about it.
Yeah, I don't think I should spread the...
Listen,
I mean, what happened happened.
Am I another link in the chain by talking about it right now?
No, because we don't know what any of the medical aspects of it, which is there is a HIPAA violation, and then there's a hippo violation when you're on a date with a hippo and she says no.
If you think that there was a HIPAA violation, I don't necessarily know if you need to turn this person in, but I would say something to that person.
I guess I
don't
know.
Call that office and say, yo, I shouldn't know this information.
I don't know.
Here's
if there's
a man on the phone saying, yo.
Do you know I used to think that it was the Hippocratic oath and not the Hippocratic oath?
She's a hypocrite.
Yeah. Why would
you didn't even want to do this.
Why would you even take an oath to say that you're going to be hypocritical? You're telling me things that aren't even true here?
Why do I even believe this diagnosis?
Yeah.
Or you hypocrite.
Hypocrite.
Minimum penalty is $50,000. Say, I won't say anything if you give me $25,000.
Yeah, use it for blackmail.
I think, honestly, if you can make lemonade out of this just by employing extortion.
Yeah, which carries more jail time? Blackmail
extortion.
Or hypocritic? Yeah,
right,
HIPAA
exactly.
Violation.
Yep. All right, I noticed other things. I noticed
more from the noticer. Just keeps coming.
I noticed a really stupid product.
The noticer's noticed a very stupid product.
Yeah, and I'm going to tell you about it. So if you need some motivation to drop your phone and work out, there's a new item that can solve at least half the problem. Japanese telecom company SoftBank is selling a phone case that is, it's 22 pounds.
Oh, so you can like lift weights while you're on your phone?
Yeah, the case costs roughly $100. It's said to be the heaviest phone case in the world. And yes, you can actually use it to, to do curls and things like that while you have
Come on, man.
22
it's
pounds.
It's just imbecilic.
I know.
It's like, why not just make your daily vitamin 20 pounds?
Yep.
I'm getting a workout.
They're actually selling this at about $100. I don't know if people are buying it. I don't know if it's a novelty thing or not, but yeah, it's like a shake weight.
Okay, so we're looking at the ad. It appears to be written in Japanese.
I don't think that is the actual product, which is basically the case
attached to a barbell.
To a barbell, well, it might be. I don't know, but that's pretty dumb. And I noticed it.
Well, by the way, if you're taking a call quickly, you could knock yourself out.
You could easily.
I still have a shake weight in my basement.
Do you really?
Yeah.
Did you actually use it?
No.
Okay.
It was a joke.
From our contest that we did one time, or?
We
bought a couple shake weights to do the McDonald's shakes.
Yeah, we did the Shamrock shake weight.
Oh, yeah.
If you remember.
The dumbest effing. There have been some real bad ones.
Yeah.
Slam Man was pretty dumb, too.
The dumbbell shake weight thing was, I thought that was funny. I thought it was a good one.
So wait a second. This
our old GM didn't care for that one.
No, he did not. We're looking for the device here. It apparently is. So the iPhone, snaps into this barbell.
All right.
It's very dumb.
I noticed something else that some people might actually enjoy.
More from the noticer who says he's noticed some things that people might actually enjoy.
The U.S. Postal Service announced Monday that it is adding the first ever scratch and sniff stamps.
We talked about it. I was wondering if moving stamps now and collectible stamps would be an issue.
Yeah.
This might be a way to sort of help sales.
20 new stamps feature watercolor style illustrations of ice pops.
What about Play-Doh?
Ice pops on a stick by Santa Monica, California artist Margaret Berg. Scratching the stamps reveals what the Postal Service calls the sweet scent of summer.
I love scratch and sniff stickers. Those were
hate them.
Oh, and I loved them.
And I will tell you why. One
bad experience.
One flavor or one scent in particular.
Oh. Pepperoni pizza?
Cinnamon.
Ah.
Does not smell anything like real cinnamon. It's got this bizarre faux thing. It actually gives me unpleasant memories for some reason.
What are the unpleasant memories?
Oh, nothing happened. I mean, I was just like, I would always smell it and go, ugh. You know?
I don't want to smell it, Mommy. I don't want to smell it.
Smell it. And by the way, that's your nutsack.
Oh.
No, Mommy, no.
Casey, the great
flavor. I'm going to go next door. Billy's house. They never eat soup.
It was our regular Saturday night thing.
Oh, yeah. Nick, you were saying about grape.
If I think consciously about the grape scratch and sniff flavor, it makes my mouth water.
Mm.
Because it reminds me of, like, Bubble Yum Bubble Gum. Which also was sort of a palpable.
Now that
you,
I like.
Get
sure.
you in the back of the throat.
Yeah.
And that for me evokes a real pleasant memory.
When I think of scratch and sniff stickers, I automatically think of pepperoni pizza and pickle. Those are like the two.
When I think of scratch and sniff stickers, actually, for a while, they would have, it was a gimmick at theaters, the Smell-O-Vision, John Waters, I think it was maybe polyester, I forget what movie had it. They had scratch and sniff, and one of the odors was crap.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It was sort of fun. They used to have the scratch and sniff books, too, when you were growing up.
Well, so you mentioned books. Recently, Marissa was cleaning out her old bedroom, and did you have albums of stickers? Remember, that was a thing. Did you have albums of stickers?
Yeah. I remember this as a thing. I never did it, but was it really popular?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. When I was in grade school, we used to trade them. You'd get the fuzzies, the shinies, the oilies, the foamies.
The bumblebees.
Jizzies.
Herpes. Yeah.
And they were actually banned from school because kids were getting in trouble for trading stickers and, like, ripping off another kid or something like that. But
found your sticker book?
Yes, and they were in perfect order. Like, all of the stickers. Stickers were like Kathy. You would have loved it.
You have them in order. Like, what is the order?
Well, I took them. I transferred them directly from the sticker sheet to my sticker book in the same order, and they were lined up perfectly.
That's
so I
awesome.
Just had hundreds of stickers that I would like maybe collect or trade one or the other. But that's
any
it.
Scratch and sniffs in there?
Oh, of course.
Do they still smell?
I mean, it was only like 3 years ago.
Wait, what are oilies?
Were they the ones like you pushed down and there was like kind of like a colored oil on the inside?
Exactly.
Yeah.
They were a little bit 3D and you pushed
the
oil around.
Didn't they change colors too? If you put the heat from your finger would change it from like purple to pink?
Those might be the foamies that you're thinking about. Okay. But the oilies do have like a color
changing.
What about
the handies?
Those were until middle school.
Those were stupid.
Those were stupid.
Nice. All right. Well, they're doing these scratch and sniff stamps, and they're going to be kiwi, orange, chocolate, blueberry, strawberry, and cola. And they're being officially released on June 20th.
Hey, by the way, did we get any word back on which Oreo flavor? Has that happened yet? The selection? Remember there were...
Yeah, we had the Not Your Average Listener in?
Yeah.
I don't know. I have not heard anything as of yet. We'll have to research that and see if they've come up with that. Because it was a $500,000 prize guy was going to get. Hang on, Marissa. What's that?
I think you could still vote until June.
You can still vote until June.
Yeah, that's what the announcer says. Going to notice her. All right.
Good. All right, good.
All right, and that's it. That's
was
all
that it?
Yeah, that's all I've noticed.
That's all we have time for, but the noticer keeps noticing, so you don't have to.
I noticed that I had some more of these movie passes to give away. Action Point. And we'll take five callers, 215-263-WMMR. We're doing the screening next Thursday. At the UA King of Prussia, movie doesn't hit theaters until June 1st. And if you come to Keenan's for the live broadcast, the official opening of the Jersey Shore, which, by the way, we haven't even mentioned yet, is Eggs with Peg.
It is.
And the matriarch of the Keenan family, Peg, is no longer with us, but she lives on in spirit. You come there, you might win a trip to Hollywood for the exclusive premiere of that film. And we'll set you up with a hotel and some food for, I mean, not some food, some money for food and gifts and so on and so forth. So make sure you come out and see us. Yes, Kathy.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead, Steve. Go ahead.
Did you want to make mention of one of our contests, Preston?
Yes, we're going to be doing a contest called, and we won't tell you what it is, but it's called Popping and Docking. That's all there is to it. Popping and docking.
I know we're gonna have. I think we're gonna have some hot pegs, right?
We're working on it.
Yeah.
Working on those things. Yep. All right. So nothing, Kath.
I was just gonna say, you guys know I grew up going to Action Park as a kid, and so my brother heard that we were giving away tickets, and he goes, "Oh man, I'd really like to see that movie. Is it a documentary on all the people that got hurt?" I was like, "No, it's not a documentary."
All right, we're gonna take a break. We'll come back in a second, and bizarre file stories. I have a few more of those. Would love to share them with you. We'll be right back.
Turning 50 is a big deal, and MMR's taking the better part of the year to celebrate. On Thursday, October 25th, WMMR puts the icing on the cake with one big, final, blow-out-the-candles event. Presenting the WMMR 50th finale with Metallica. On the bell toll,
MMR is turning 50 years old.
We are coming back to Philly to celebrate with you guys on October 25th.
WMMR and Metallica rock the roof off the Wells Fargo Center.
So true, Jackson.
MMR VIP presale Thursday, May 31st, noon to 10 p.m. Keep an eye on your inbox for the password. Not a VIP? Sign up now at WMMR.com. Tickets on sale Friday, June 1st at noon via WellsFargoCenterPhilly.com. The WMMR 50th finale with Metallica. Details at WMMR.com. Happy birthday to us.
All right, what do you say we get some more Bizarre File stories?
Yeah!
Here we go.
Now, Bizarre. WMMR presents Bizarre. Kristen and Steve's Bizarre File.
Brought to you this morning by Sequoia Outback. Create the backyard of your dreams during Sequoia Outback's annual Memorial Day sale on Route 309 in Hatfield or online at decksupplies.com. Well, a drugged up man was caught filling up a hotel bath with potatoes while wearing a bra during an epic five-day binge on a designer drug, MDMA.
Oh, this is an awesome story. So he's filling up the bathtub with potatoes, and he's wearing just a bra?
He's wearing a bra, yeah, from what I understand. When Judge Peter Henry asked James Johnson why he was filling up a bath with potatoes, he replied, and this is one of my most favorite excuses ever, "It felt like the right thing to do at the time."
Yeah. The toilet was full of broccoli.
Johnson was caught by officers wearing a woman's bra. Actually, it was over his shirt, Steve.
Oh, and well, he's modest.
Carrying a bag of spuds as he tried to enter the travel lodge. officer searched his room and found an Aladdin's cave of drugs, including ecstasy, another designer drug similar to MDMA called 5-MAPP, and a psychedelic substance called 2-CB. The court heard Johnson and
listen to all this stuff.
And two friends had decided to go on a one-night binge, which ended up lasting 5 days. James Kellum, prosecuting, told the court hotel staff telling the court that hotel staff phoned the police after smelling cannabis in the room. Mr. Kellum said they saw Johnson with a bag of potatoes and in women's clothing. It may be this that led officers to believe that he was intoxicated. He bought the drugs on the dark web for around $1,500, but a drug expert found that the value of the drugs was only around $500. Johnson was charged with intent to supply drugs and pleaded guilty. The judge said the case was odd and bizarre and sentenced to Johnson to an 18-month community order.
You know, but the fact that his response was, "It seemed like the right thing to do,"
yep, I love
tells
it.
You everything you need to know.
Well, a Florida man was arrested on Thursday for allegedly walking naked through a neighborhood during a rainstorm and carrying cooking oil.
Florida man.
Run
Florida
that by me.
One more time. Walking naked through a neighborhood during a rainstorm and carrying cooking oil. Joseph John Musso, 63 years old, was charged with loitering and prowling, lewd and lascivious behavior, resisting an officer without violence, and exposure of sexual organs.
Now I get the potatoes, find a bathtub, and I'm set.
A deputy encountered Musso, who was naked and standing in heavy rain near a red pickup truck.
Good morning, Constable.
He also was holding a plastic bottle with cooking oil. Musso attempted to run away, but the deputy caught him and removed the bottle of cooking oil. But when he had attempted to handcuff Musso, he slipped away and began running down the street.
Well, he's all oiled up.
The deputy fired his taser at Musso, prompting the naked man to fall to the ground. Musso was handcuffed and he was taken to the county jail.
Now, he was protected by the power of Wessonality.
Now, according to the arrest report, Musso told deputies that he received sexual gratification being naked in public. And he also said that he was carrying cooking oil because he, quote, liked to rub it on his legs. He was released from jail.
He's good. I mean, who's our best? The pleasuring yourself with the cheese guy? How does he rack up against this guy?
Well, this is pretty good.
No, I think the cooking oil makes a little bit of sense.
Okay, cheese.
If he wants to bronze himself.
So cheese good. Cheese dude still wins?
Yeah.
Musso was released from jail on bonds totaling $3,000. A 25-year-old man remains in the hospital after suffering serious injuries during a bizarre incident Saturday morning. Ontario's Special Investigations Unit was called in to investigate after a man appeared to be trapped under a police cruiser. Ooh. So police were called to the area in the early morning hours to conduct an investigation. Around 2 a.m., one of the officers entered his police cruiser and began driving, and he came to realize that the man, a 25-year-old, was underneath the cruiser. They don't know how he got there, but he was under there.
Are you
you, sir. I'm currently under your cop car.
Once the man was freed, he became involved in an interaction with the officers. Some residents of the area say a heavy police presence in the neighborhood isn't that unusual, and they are calling on the city to put more safety measures in place to keep crime out. So I guess it's a high crime area, and this guy climbed underneath the police car for some reason or another.
Don't climb under cars.
Probably not a good idea. Police are asking, here's a local story, Marlton, New Jersey. Police are asking for the public's help in finding a man who allegedly followed a woman into a Marlton, New Jersey store bathroom. The incident happened at the Bed Bath & Beyond store on Route 73. The victim told police the man entered the restroom shortly after her and stood outside the stall that she was occupying. And she told police the man stood there breathing heavily and moaning. And she could see his black boots under the stall door.
Oh, yeah.
The man then left the bathroom and exited the store a short time later.
That's scary.
Yeah. Police say the suspect was seen on surveillance video loitering in front of the women's restroom and entering shortly.
Roger Ailes?
Roger. He's just goes to Roger Ailes.
He's waiting for her to fart.
Yeah. Are you going to fart? I brought some ribs.
Investigators want to hear from the man or anyone who might be able to identify him. That is scary. Yeah. All right, and then we'll do one more story and wrap things up. What?
We have time. If you're going to do those two, we have time for two.
Okay, I'll do two then. Everybody knows distracted driving is dangerous, but so is driving from a seat other than the one that your vehicle was manufactured with. Police in Australia recently pulled over a car driving along the Central Coast Highway because it didn't appear to have a windshield. And when they approached the vehicle, they realized it had a stripped interior and no seat. Instead, the driver was perched on a metal stool that was resting on a loose towel on the floor of the car.
You've seen things like this. Yeah. There's a great site called Only in Russia, a Twitter page. And you see things, these self-modded cars all the time.
Yep. The car owner was slapped with numerous violations that added up to more than $1,200 in fines. And then finally, we'll end with this. A Maryland woman who hit her third lottery jackpot says that her winning numbers came to her in a dream. The woman told lottery officials that she dreamt about being in a train station and asking for directions to a street, and a voice told her, go to 538.
Wow.
The woman said she decided to use the numbers to play Racetrack's Maryland Lottery's virtual horse racing game. She ultimately played the numbers 5387, and one of the races she played featured a horse that galloped 5387 finish and earned her more than $30,000 in that. But it came to her in a dream. And there you go. That is what I have for you in this morning's Bizarre File. Let's take ourselves another break. When we get back, we'll see if you've been paying attention. We'll do a lesson question, and we'll do trash and music news. Stay with us. We'll be back in just a moment.
The Preston and Steve Show on 93.3 WMMR. Like the podcast, you'll also love it live.
When you can call in.
Weekdays from 6 a.m. to about 10:30 a.m. on the radio at 93.3 WMMR. Or stream the show live via MMR's mobile app.
If you are texting in for Preston Steve's Coolest Teacher of the Year, you go to Garden Valley High School. Make sure you do it in this fashion. Text the word teacher first, all right? Text the word teacher, followed by the teacher's name, to 39333. One vote per phone. So keep that in mind. That's how we tally it. You send the text over, and once we have that word teacher leading the way, we can pull up a it files them together all, and we can. It's easy to compile and add everything up. So it's just that's how we do it. That's the format. So text word teacher followed by the teacher's name, 39333. And tomorrow morning we'll find out who the coolest teacher of Garnet Valley High School has been the last year. I'm going to do a lesson question. We're going to ask and see if you've been paying attention to today's program. We have a pair of tickets to see Joel McHale from Community and the Joel McHale Show on Netflix. And this is one night only, Friday, June 1st, at the Excite Center at Parks Casino. So the question is, for Caitlyn Jenner, what pain hurt? Because pain don't hurt, but this pain hurt. What was it? 215-263-WMMR. For Caitlyn Jenner, what pain hurt? 215-263-WMMR. We are going to do the trash.
The trash business is a gold mine.
93.3 WMMR with Preston and Steve's Hollywood Trash.
And this morning it is brought to you by Resorts Casino Hotel. What's your kind of fun? With live entertainment and daily events and specials, you can always find your fun at Resorts Casino Hotel in Atlantic City. More at resortsac.com. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER. What's going on, Steve?
Well, Kim Kardashian admitting to being just a bit embarrassed by a bit of visible nipple in an ad for a new perfume in which she appears strategically nude. Kim says a little nipple also snuck into frame once while she was filming a video in which she was, quote, getting jackhammered in the S-Box.
Wow.
Oh, my God.
A little nipple show.
Yeah, she felt so embarrassed.
Yeah.
Meghan Markle and Prince William delaying their honeymoon to celebrate the 70th birthday of Prince Charles 6 months in advance. Charles was so excited to see Markle that he reportedly ran up to her with his hands up, screaming, "Meghan, Meghan, I'm this much decades old."
Oh, my God.
And finally, Nick Jonas earning his reputation as a player, spending the last week wooing ex-girlfriend Olivia Cupo, wining and dining model singer Bebe Rexha, all while sending flirty messages to newly single Jenna Dewan. Not only that, Jonas reportedly spent all last night filling in a hole in his schedule.
Oh,
yeah. And that's your Hollywood track.
All right. We'll see if you've been listening and have been paying attention to the show this morning. Need to find out where for Caitlyn Jenner what pain hurt. I will go to Harry for the answer. Hey, Harry, how you doing?
How are you?
Good, Harry. So for Caitlyn Jenner, what pain hurt?
Balls cut off.
Yeah, balls cut off.
Yes.
Hang on, Harry. We are going to give you a pair of tickets to see the hilarious comedian Joel McHale from Community and the new Joel McHale Show on Netflix. One night only. It's Friday, June 1st at 8 p.m. at the new Excite Center at Parks Casino. ParksCasino.com for tickets. You must be 21. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Now, Preston and Steve's Music News on 93.3 WMMR.
Yeah! And this morning is brought to you by the Center for Healing Addiction Treatment Center. Overcoming addiction is hard. Getting into treatment shouldn't be. Meet the different approach to addiction treatment at Center, the number 4healing.com. Avenged Sevenfold bassist Johnny, I'm not sure if it's Christ or Christ, said this past weekend in a new interview that the band will probably start working on its 8th studio LP this fall. Christ explained, "Right now, we're excited for the rest of this summer tour, and then we plan on pretty much hitting the ground running as soon as we get back and finish a tour in September.
Just waiting to get back into the studio with the Apostles."
He said probably September or October we'll start really getting into the writing of the possible of a possible new record, and it'll be exciting. Not sure what it'll be. Christ added that the band members are working on their own ideas at the moment, saying right now it's probably a little bit more of getting our own ideas and just writing by ourselves in our studios and some stuff at home. And then we'll probably throw all those ideas away when we come up with what kind of idea we're going to do.
You know, if Christ himself actually was a rocker performing, you would have no trouble seeing him in an outdoor venue because, you know, the weather would be fine.
Perfect. Yes. They'd never run out of wine and bread.
Absolutely.
Dave Grohl admitted in a new interview with GQ that he still finds it difficult to listen to the music of Nirvana. Grohl explained, "When Kurt died, every time the radio came on, it broke my heart. I don't put Nirvana records on, no." He said, "Although they're always on somewhere, I get in the car, they're on, I go to a shop, they're on." He added that his memories of making the Nirvana albums that he played on are as vivid as ever. He said, "I can remember everything about those records. I remember the shorts I was wearing when we recorded them, or that it snowed that day." Although he has achieved vast success on his own terms with Foo Fighters, Grohl remarked that he could not have done it without the experiences he went through in Nirvana. He said, "I was 21. I thought I knew everything. And being in Nirvana showed me how little I really knew. They were some of the greatest highs of my life, but also, of course, one of the biggest lows. Those experiences became a footing on a foundation or a foundation on how to survive." And then just one more story. Listen to this. The doctor who prescribed drugs to Three Doors Down guitarist Matt Roberts before the late musician's apparently fatal overdose is not guilty in his death.
Uh-huh.
A jury has returned a verdict of not guilty in the case of Dr. Richard Snellgrove, who was indicted in 2016 and charged with 13 counts of writing prescriptions for the musician that were not medically necessary and could have contributed to his death. But Snellgrove's attorney presented text messages that showed Roberts had been dabbling in street drugs in addition to his prescription medications, arguing that his death couldn't be pinned strictly to Snellgrove. Prosecutors countered that Snellgrove had been prescribing meds to Roberts under multiple aliases.
That's got to be illegal.
The jury accepted the defense's version, but while Snellgrove may be off the hook for criminal charges, he's still facing a wrongful death lawsuit filed by Roberts' estate. Prosecutors allege that Snellgrove prescribed the drugs to kill Roberts, who died in August 2016 in a hotel near Milwaukee, where he was scheduled to perform at a charity concert. The cause of death was an overdose involving fentanyl, hydrocodone, and alprazolam. Alpro is some of the other.
Alprazolam,
anti-anxiety.
Okay. Snellgrove faced up to 240 years in prison, by the way, and up to $2.8 million in fines if convicted. So they have found him not guilty.
It's a bit of a surprise.
That is a surprise. That's what I got for you. That's all I got for you this morning in Music News. Yeah, we have a secret text word, and it's time to get our winner. And that means that Kathy needs to give us a number. Caller, please.
9.
Caller 9-215-263-WMMR. You got a crack at it. We'll be back in just a second with your chance to win and get ready to wrap things up. Stay with us.
What's new?
Glad you asked.
Dorothy. Take me down to the bottom. Fozzy. Stone Temple Pilots.
New music. More of everything that rocks.
On 93.3 WMMR.
If you're not coming to join us at the shore, whatever you have planned, keep MMR with you because we got a very cool weekend, 50-50, and it's the 50 greatest bands or the greatest albums, in our opinion, the radio station's opinion.
Yes, that's it.
Playing blocks from those albums throughout the weekend.
There's a really interesting point that Bill Weston made last week, which they were talking about Queen and Queen's great albums over the years. And from their perspective, there wasn't one standalone album. There were a lot of really good albums.
It's a little bit uneven. You know, sometimes you'll have an album like the Joshua Tree, and you're just like, oh god, every song on there is awesome,
right?
Or you know, there's a bunch of like that. Back in Black is like that. You know, just every single song in there. Anybody who has a favorite band has an album that's just loaded with stuff you love. And Queen fans are probably that way too. But for the most part, like their hits were really spread out. It's like one or two here, one or two there.
Yes, yeah.
And throughout their albums. But there's not like one album. I know A Night at the Opera is considered one of their masterpieces.
Right.
But it's not like boom, 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 boom on the track listing. So
and when I first started listening to Queen, I just went with greatest hits because I didn't know where to start, and that's a good place to start.
It's a real good place, yeah, most definitely. So anyhow, it's going to be this weekend on MMR. We are looking for caller number 9, and I'm going over to Steve, who happens to be caller 9. Hey, Steve, how you doing?
Hey, guys. Sorry to bother you at work.
It's all right, sir. We just need from you a secret text word, and what is that, please?
Is it header?
Yeah. Yes. It's header, which, of course, you can do while playing soccer. Hang on the line, man, because we are going to set you up with tickets to the U.S. men's national soccer team and an exciting matchup against Bolivia. And this is at Talon Energy Stadium this Memorial Day. And don't forget that Christian Pulisic is going to be making his Pennsylvania debut for the Red, White, and Blue. And you can get tickets now at information@ussoccer.com. And not only are we giving Steve those tickets, but we are also going to give some to our random texter. And that was Daniel, I believe it says Moffitt.
Yes.
And is from Middletown, Delaware. So congratulations, Daniel. We are going to give you the exact same prize. So congratulations to you. Yeah. I would thank people, but... well, actually, you know what? We had Sarah Bloomquist on the show this morning from 6ABC. We found out about this young man named Tim who has Duchenne muscular dystrophy. And he apparently had his van, which is specially equipped for him. He's in a wheelchair. Stolen. And they had alerted 6ABC, and Sarah did an interview with him and the family. Turns out he's a huge Flyers and Preston and Steve fan. So he wanted us and the Flyers organization to help get the word out about it and see if they can find this van. We did it. We talked to Sarah earlier this morning. We put information up on our website, and apparently the Flyers are trying to reach out and help too. And if this van can't be found, maybe we can help raise some funds and the family can get a new one, you know?
Is this what you like a crossover van? Is that what it is? Or
no, it's a minivan.
A minivan.
A minivan, okay. Which I'm sure has been customized for
sure, yeah.
Somebody who is you know, wheelchair dependent and special needs. And they have the rigging and all that stuff set up in there. And they use it not only to take him to things like Flyers games, but to the doctor.
Which he has many visits.
He needs to go.
Yes.
So thanks, Sarah, for bringing us up to and alerting us of that, which is cool. We appreciate you being on this morning. Reminder, we have the coolest teacher of the year. It's Garnet Valley High School, Glenn Mills. If you go to that school and you have somebody in mind for, potentially winning that prize, text their name. You need to text the word teacher, followed by the teacher's name, to 39333, and it's one vote per phone number, and we will give that away tomorrow morning, so it should be cool.
Love it.
I guess I'll just thank the sponsors. That's
yeah,
all
man.
I got left to
do.
Do
a letter of the day.
We can't guess.
Damn it.
Oh.
He's right. Casey's right.
Casey's right.
Let's do the letter. You ready?
I'm ready.
Here we go.
Preston and Steve on 93.3 WMMR.
Now, the Daily Letter.
All right, the Preston and Steve show is brought to you today by the letter
A, as in anchor.
All right, and we have a chance for you to win a 20-pack of tickets to Strike Force Laser Tag. Good for 1 hour at their facility in Westchester. Another brainchild of the Bates folks who brought you Bates Escape Rooms and the Bates Motel Strike Force Laser Tag and an intense, unique indoor tactical laser tag arena that's different than anything you've ever played before. Visit them at 540 East Union Street in Westchester or StrikeForceLaserTag.com for more information. Now I'll thank the sponsor.
Yes.
Thank you to Dunkin' Donuts, the official coffee of the Preston and Steve Show. The Preston and Steve Show runs on Dunkin'. Also, Winter Airport Parking, the 2017 Reader's Choice Award winner from the Philadelphia Inquirer. Oh, and yeah. And Skull Shaver. Say goodbye to nicks, cuts, and scrapes with the all-new Pit Bull from Skull Shaver. Tomorrow on the program, Jillian Jacobs.
Yeah. Jillian Jacobs?
Oh, from Love, and she used to be on Community,
yes.
And we had her in studio for the Birbiglia movie. What was called? What? A Birbiglia movie called...
It was SNL, basically. Very funny, very talented. Is she in studio or on the phone?
She's on the phone.
All right.
So we'll have her on the program morning, and we are just getting ourselves ready for Keenan's Irish Pub and the live broadcast. Don't forget, we're going to do a contest called Popping and Docking. So that's one of the many things we'll
that's
have
what we do.
In store for you. That's it. We're done. Rage on. Have a great day. We'll see you tomorrow, gang. Bye-bye.
The Preston and Steve Love You, Hate You line.
To the woman bitching about the rain, well, this is Mother Nature. Don't be bitching when there's a drought this summer.
Next message.
Hey, I just wanted to say thank you to my brother-in-law, Andrew, from Satterton. Guy is just selfless. Drove 2 hours out of his way last Thursday night for something that I forgot on a trip. He met me driving 2 hours out of his way. Love you, brother.
Next message.
It's dandelion, not dandelion. There's no Y in it.
The Preston and Steve Love You, Hate You line.
Call 484-434-1333.
MMR rocks.
Brought to you by DellToyota.com and DellChevrolet.com.
Jack, sell them for less.